Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk radio.
Evening. Thank you very much, Johnny. Thank you, Ash. Excellent stuff as always. Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Don't call in for the first 20 minutes or so, because we've got Andy Partridge at top of the show from XTC. That's fun. We'll be taking our hats off to Gary Shandling, who died earlier. And I'll be honest, you know, this show is normally quite shambolic. This is... my mind's been miles away today. I've got nothing prepared at all. Here's the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Alive. Well, you know, I'm happy this is a talk station, of course. It feeds the kids, but if it were a music station, we'd have the whole of that. What the hell? We play all of the Duke songs this evening. It would be a Duke special. Evening, dear listener. This is Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Don't give us a call for 20 minutes or so, because we've got a special guest on. It's Andy Partridge. Evening, Andy.
Oh, my good grief. It is I.
Should we
do this in theatrical lovey talk?
For good...
Oh, you dear boy.
Oh, my darling Partridge, it's so marvellous to hear from you.
Lovely.
Listen, Andy Partridge, I've got to say, I'm always... We had John Sebastian on the other day. From The Loving Spoonful. And I'm aware that to put some people in context, you have to say, John Sebastian, from The Loving Spoonful. Andy Partridge, of XTC. Does that ever get annoying?
Sometimes you can, it's okay, because you can sort of hide behind it, like, you know, it's that bloke out of.
Yes.
That's good, because if you want to hide, that's good. And then other times you think, what? They don't know me. They'll talk about Johnny Marr.
Oh.
But they won't say Johnny Marr out of the Smiths.
And you haven't been out of XTC for what, 20 years?
About 10.
10? Oh, no, okay, you're right. I'm ageing you, of course. I'm ageing you, yes, about...
Well, it's easier to do it verbally than cutting through and counting the rings.
What was the last one? The last one was Wasp Star, wasn't it, the last album?
Last official XTC album was Wasp Star, yes, which is difficult to say on borrowed teeth, I've got to be honest with you.
Have you been having a drink tonight as well?
No, I've been totally sober tonight. I've been sat here strumming my electric pygmy, awaiting your call.
I feel privileged to have a smoke.
I've not got him plugged in, though. The little blighter doesn't like it.
XTC is done. We've spoken about this privately, you know. XTC is done. That ain't happening no more, is it?
No. We had a fantastic run. I mean, really good runs.
Oh, yes.
In the public eye from 77 till 2006. Which isn't bad, and before 77, you know, from 72 up to 77, it was like struggling pubs, working men's clubs, all that kind of stuff. You know, the usual story.
I got delivered this today, so I've not read it, and I've paid for this out of my own wallet. The new book, Complicated Game, Inside the Songs of XTC. It's a beautiful looking book.
It's paper pages, and some of the letters are printed in the right combination, so they sort of randomly form words.
I can tell it's a good book because it's heavy.
Oof.
It's like those people that say, I'm looking for some art. What kind of art do you want? Oh, about this big, you know.
exactly.
What is it? What is this book?
It'll make it heavy. So you got your copy of it.
I bought it. Yeah, I've got it here. I'm holding it now, and it came today, so I've not had a chance to read it. But I flicked through it. It's about you writing songs, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's a series of interviews I did about 10 years ago with a friend of mine called Todd Bernhardt, an American chap, and you know, we would talk on the phone pretty much every week. And he said to me one day, he said, look, I'll tell you what, why don't I start recording these conversations and I'll ask you specifically about some of the songs of yours that I like and we can slap them up on the internet. I said, yeah, sure, okay. So we did that. And then after, I don't know how many we did of these, like 100 and something of these, we sort of forgot about them, you know. And then years later, I don't know who it was, maybe somebody he mentioned it to or whatever, said, you should put these in a book, you know. And we started to think, oh, book, oh, I'd love to read a book one day, you know. So, no, it was just a case of get it down on paper and put some of these interviews. And they're not really interviews, it's just sort of chats between friends, really.
It looks lovely. It does look like a classy book, and it is good. I'm surprised there aren't more books about you or Colin or the band. You know, there's Chalk Hills and Children, that's one, isn't it? But that's quite old now.
Yeah, and there's one called Song Stories, which is conversations with myself, Colin Moulding and Dave Gregory about pretty much a sentence or two about everything we ever recorded up to that point. But no, there's not many photographs, there's not much in the way of films. There's a lot of records, but there's, you know, I think the Yeti has been photographed more than we have.
You say there's not a lot of films.
There's nicer trousers.
There are quite a few films of you guys that, you know, I've seen there are hooky, you know, DVDs floating around and stuff on YouTube, you know, pretending to record Towers of London and various programs like that.
BBC wouldn't get away with that these days.
A TV fakery.
It's
a documentary about you recording a song, but you'd already recorded the song, so you were faking recording the song.
Exactly. It was fakery on an Attenborough level. BBC actually called us up while we were making the Black Sea album.
Yeah.
And said, can we come in and film you making the album? And we thought, yeah, great. Nobody's ever filmed us making an album. Yeah, come on down. And they said, it'll take a little while to get all the permissions and, you know, build some cameras, no doubt. And we said, okay, we'll be here for a few more weeks yet. And they never called us. And then we went out on tour for X amount of months, came back, and they said, okay, we're ready. And we said, well, look, the album's out. You know, it's quite a while ago now. And they said, well, look, couldn't you just fake the recording of the current single?
Terrible.
I know. And so we all had to get polar bear outfits on and pretend to give birth to each other. And nobody knows any different. And we sort of did it exactly like we would have done the original, you know, just playing and grooving and dicking around and being at the Manor and, you know, just being XTC, really. A bunch of smart-ass yokels.
Doing stuff. You're not doing stuff as XTC, but you're still releasing CDs. Well, actually, I say you're not doing stuff as XTC. You are remastering the back catalogue and bringing out really high-quality repackages.
Well, remastering for vinyl and CD release, but the big thrill with the recorded stuff is Stephen Wilson, Mr. If You Want It in 5.1 Surround Sound, he's the man to go to. He's working his way through our back catalogue when the master tapes can be found. I have to add that, you know, people say to me, oh, why aren't they coming out in chronological order? Well, it's as simple is that they can't find all the tapes. You know, the one thing a record company has to do is keep your tapes safe, you know, because that's all that it's about is the recorded work.
Yeah.
And they can't find most of the material.
So what is that? Is that just that they got chucked, someone lost them, someone nicked them? What is it?
Well, all sorts of stories. I mean, I've heard horror stories from people that used to work at Virgin say, oh, I saw some of your tapes the other week. They were down an old railway tunnel, which was boarded up, and they had Bexian shelves down this old railway tunnel, and they were spilling out all over the floor and stuff, you know. And I'm thinking, my goodness, it was me thinking they'd be all in temperature-controlled, you know, a situation like a big warehouse, like Indiana Jones.
Oh, right,
A huge warehouse.
Yes.
With crates, you know, and, well, let's see, let's walk on down to X and they'll be in the XTC. No, most of the tapes would be you know, you had no idea where they were. And in fact, some have just been found in New York, which is
wow,
really odd. Which is good because it means that we can carry on getting these surround sound mixes done, which is great because people are loving them. You know, they're loving sitting inside the music.
Well, they are love. Did this start with? And I don't want to. I know this is uncomfortable territory, so I don't want to pry too much.
No. Nothing's uncomfortable.
Are you sure?
Nothing verboten.
Okay. Did this start with the remastering of Skylarking? Because that it came out again a few years ago as a big, fat sounding album after being a brilliant record, but sounding a little bit flat.
It sounded amazingly thin,
yeah.
In fact. We did our best when the tapes came back from a chap called Todd Rundgren, who some of you may have heard of. He mixed it over there. We weren't allowed at the mixing session because we were trouble. And he posted them over, and nobody liked the results.
Yeah.
The band didn't like them, and Virgin Records didn't like them. So we said, would you please mix it again? You know, brackets a little bit better, close brackets. And he did some of them again and said, stuff it, I'm not doing it anymore. You're stuck with what you get, you know. And we were appalled at how thin it sounded.
Yeah.
There was no bass, there was no proper top. It was just a sort of middle sounding, like it was coming down a thick telephone or something, you know. And we did our best, you know, mastered it as best we could and blah, 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 and put the album out. And the album's a great sounding, a great sort of, how should we say, sequenced album. And it was some of our better material.
Oh, it's some amazing songs on there.
Years later, we got hold of the master stereo mix, and a chap called John Dent, who works down in Taunton in Somerset, I think it is.
That sounds about right, yeah. Over that way.
He's got a mastering studio down there, and we sent him the tapes, and he phoned me up one day, and he said, you know, these tapes, they sound pretty rotten. And I said, yeah, they do. And he said, it's because they're out of polarity. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he gave me a long scientific explanation. I said, oh, my goodness, how do we put that right? And he said, well, actually, I've got a device here with a combination of switches on it. And if I flick the right combination of switches...
He can reverse the polarity.
It'll be back to how it should
have
sounded. And I said, well, what causes this? And he said, well, the simplest thing is a few wires of... been soldered wrongly in the studio.
Yeah.
He said, it's very common. It's very common. So I said, well, please flick your magic switches, Mr. Switchy Flickman.
Very technical terms, Andy.
Yeah, very. It's, you know, I'm like George Martin when it comes to that. And a couple of days later, he sent a copy of what he'd done, and it sounded like 40, 50% better.
Yeah.
And he was like, yes, that's how I remember it sounding in the studio. That's how it should sound. So it's great, you know. So we put out we put out the Skylarking album with the sound it should have had before the technical problems, and with the sleeve it should have
had. Well, this is what I want to ask you about.
Aye.
Whose pubic region is that? Because that is, I mean, that's an unpleasant sleeve. I'm looking at it now. That's an unpleasant sleeve.
It's not. It's quite natural. It was the original idea.
Yeah.
The Skylarking sleeve would have had one bedecked with meadow flowers pubic region of a man on one side and a woman on the other side, and there was no sort of front or back. You could pick your sex, if you see what I mean.
Yes, ahead of the times,
the
really.
Quite pagan and sex in the open air and a bit of lady chattel his lover and all that. And had a mock-up of the sleeve made, and I'm not going to tell you whose curlies they are.
Yes.
They're not mine, but I'm not going to tell you.
Are they a member of the bands?
No.
Okay. Okay.
I was asked not to go to the photo session because it would have made the person feel very uncomfortable.
Wow.
Anyway, and we got the sleeve mocked up, and we thought, this is great, you know, this is just what we want. And Virgin Records had a meeting about it, and you know, most chaps there said, "Oh, this is fine, you know, it's okay." And one woman there really complained, "Oh, this is filth, this is degrading, and all that," you know.
Oh.
But funnily, she didn't complain about the male side.
Oh, I see.
But anyway, they took this mock-up around to some record stores. Remember them?
Yes.
Things like HMV and
Al Price.
And, you know, whoever held the reins then. We're talking about the mid-'80s, you know. And, of course, these record stores got all shirty about it. Oh, no, we couldn't. Oh, no, Mrs.
They went all Frankie Howard, did they? Al Price went Frankie Howard.
They did, totally. Yes, really, Frankie Howard. Oh, no, stop. And they said, we'll show it, but only in a brown paper bag. Oh, that's no good, is it? and so Virgin called me up and said, look, it's coming out in a couple of weeks. You can't have it. You can't have that. Come up with another one quick. So I went through an old book that had some Swiss travel posters in it, and I found a nice one of a sort of very primitive drawing of a bloke tooting a flute and a woman tooting her flute. And I said to the art people that we used at the time, can you redraw this and change it around a bit so we don't get done for copyright and all that? And can you make the eye of the man a skylark?
Yeah.
You know? So that's what we have. That was the last-minute replacement sleeve. So when we put it out a couple of years ago with the corrected sound, we put it out in the original cover, which was the Lady Chatterley's Lover, kind of pubes a go-go.
Andy, you know there's only one real reason why I've got you on, what I want to talk about. I've got to take a break for 2 minutes.
I know what you're leading up.
Can you wait for 2 minutes and I come back to you? Is that all right?
I can wait for 2 minutes only if I put my jumbo cord hipsters on with 2-inch wide plastic belt and my double-paneled, double-breasted shirt on.
You stay there, Mickey. I'll be back in a second.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I don't know what the hell was happening there. The computers took over. It was like Terminator. Andy Partridge is here. Well, evening, Andy.
Blimey, that was a long break.
I know.
We put wallpaper in the room I'm in.
Flipping it. It was longer than we were all expecting. Are the Dukes ever going to get back together?
Oh, no, they shouldn't. They all died in a terrible blending accident.
The Dukes are brilliant. For those who don't know, they were like a little sort of secret anonymous side project that you lot did where you pretended to be a psychedelic band and recorded some authentic kind of, you know, sort of 66, 67 psychedelic pop music.
Yeah, they were the band that myself and Dave Gregory wanted to be in when we were at school, you know, and we thought, yeah, when we grow up, we'll be in a band like that, you know, and then you grow up and you're in a band and it's nothing like that. Because times have changed, matey. And I thought, God, we've got to put this right. We've got to be the band that we always thought we were going to be as school kids. So, yeah, we recorded a couple of albums worth of that sounded vaguely like every band you heard in 67, yeah. 68, really. 67, that was the target year.
You listen to the songs and you go, oh, I think I know that. Oh, that sounds like all that. And it's not ripping any songs off. It's just so affectionate in its attention to detail. Like Pale and Precious, it could be, you know, the follow-up to Good Vibrations.
Oh, you flatterer.
Oh, it's a beauty.
It's not bad, is it? Actually, when I came up with it, Dave Gregory took me aside in the studio and said, Partsy, I should do my Dave Gregory impression. Partsy, what the bloody hell are you doing throwing this away on the stupid bloody Dukes idea? Should be our next bloody single, you idiot. that was quite a good impression, but it plays havoc on the larynx.
This is what I've got you on for. We've done all the fluff and the puff, and we'll do any more plugging
I've got my jumbo cords on.
You have been asked to write a song or songs for the new Monkees album. Not the new Monkees, the Monkees' new album. It's the Monkees' 50th anniversary this year. As you know, and most of the listeners know, I am obsessed with the Monkees. My favourite group.
Monkeytastic, aren't you?
My favourite group, having a song written by one of my favourite songwriters. How did that come about? And tell us about the song.
Well, first you've got to tell me your favourite Monkees album.
It's a tough one. It's probably Head.
Really?
Yeah, it's Head.
I'm more of a Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn and Jones Limited. That's what most people, they forget the Limited on the end.
Yes.
We'll call it Pisces. I'm more your Pisces. That was my first use of Moog synthesizer on pop album.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It was innovative. You were a huge Monkees fan. Did someone mention... Now, I knew that you'd won a competition in the Monkees Monthly drawing a picture of Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah, I was Monkees obsessed as a youngster.
Did you apply for a pen pal in the Monkees Monthly as well?
No, what happened is I did this cartoon. I can't remember what age I was. Pretty much a stripling, you know. And I did this caricature of Mickey Dolenz because he was the easiest one to caricature.
Mm.
At sent it off thinking, I won't win anything, you know. And, whoa, lo and behold, I'd won a tenner. I was one of, like, the four winners or something. And I'd won a tenner. And that was a phenomenal amount of money for me then. And my dad said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you another tenner and we can get this second-hand tape recorder. And we did. We got this second-hand tape recorder. And, of course, that was a huge boost to me in my career of making noises and recording them and messing with them and kind of getting into the career I find myself trapped in inexorably these days. But yeah, I did that. That was great winning that competition because I used to get the magazine Monkees Monthly. You know,
I love it. And you have now written a song, which I think they've recorded. Have they recorded? You've written a couple of songs for the Monkees. How many have they done?
A fellow called Andrew Sandoval.
Yep.
He's like a sort of monkey archivist, but he also manages the band. And he got hold of me on Twitter and said, you know, could I have a chat with you? And he emailed me and said, the Monkees are going to make one last great-sounding album. We're going to ask a lot of really good writers to contribute songs. Because they used to get America's Best Writers.
Yeah.
You know, they got the Carol Kings and the Neil Diamonds and the Boyson Hearts and, you know, all these people to write a material. And so they thought they'd go out with a bang and get the best writers they could to do this one last kaboom album. And I was so flattered to be asked because that's like, you know, I equate it to, you know, the symbol for infinity, which is a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I thought, wow, it's one of those moments. I've just started eating my own tail here. It's all perfectly joined up.
I spoke to you and you were genuinely thrilled. I was talking to 15-year-old Andy Partridge. You were genuinely thrilled, weren't you?
I was totally gone on it. Because I was a huge Monkees fan. I used to, when I had hair, I mean, at the moment, I've got more hair coming out the rim of my ears than I've got on my head. But
that's the way it goes, I'm afraid.
At the time, I had a sort of Peter Tork bowl cut. And I pestered my mum out of her catalogue to get us a Monkees shirt, which was like a double-panel, double-breasted shirt. And I had the jumbo cords with the big white wide plastic belt.
Yeah.
And I used to pick up my dad's old acoustic guitar behind the sofa, and I couldn't really play it, you know. And I'd pretend I was one of the Monkees, probably Peter Tork, because I had the haircut. And it was great, and so to be actually asked to write a song for the Monkees, I couldn't believe it. It blew me mind, man.
And they've done it. They've recorded it. Mickey Dolenz sent you a video of him singing it or something, didn't he?
Oh man, Mickey Dolenz sent me a little thing of him in the studio saying, you know, "Hi Andy, this is Mickey here. Just the vocals to your song. They're putting it out as the first single. It's called 'You Bring the Summer.'" And it's coming out in May, and I got an email two nights ago asking me for the chord charts for another of the songs.
Oh, hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is an exclusive. So what, are you allowed to tell us anything about the second song?
I think they're doing a song called, what am I talking about? They are recording a song called Love's What I Want for Us All.
Oh, man.
And I'm that's chuffed with a dollop of cream on top and more chuff on top.
Good.
I'm absolutely amazed. I just hope they will do a good job, won't they? Come on, lads. You're going to do a brilliant job.
Well, listen, because they've got really good musicians in there. They've got... I told you, Dolenz's voice now. He's 71. He's still got the voice.
He does sound great. I've heard some stuff he's been doing. Hey, look, can I say something about the Monkees and musicians?
Yeah,
because it used to annoy the shirt out of me.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah. it used to annoy the shirt out of me that... People used to moan and say, "God, Monkees, they don't play their own instruments. They're not making the music on their own albums." And the same people, years later, if you said to them, "Well, okay, the first two Monkees albums, they're not making the music. They're only singing. The people that are making the music, the musicians, are the same people who are making all the music on the Beach Boys.
Yeah, the Beach Boys didn't play on the records. Pet Sounds isn't
nobody
there.
Nobody moaned about that. The same musicians that are playing on the Mamas and Papas, nobody moaned about that. The same musicians that are playing on the Byrds records, nobody moaned about that. And so on and so on and so on and so on. But for some reason, the Monkees got it in the neck.
There's a real snobbery around it. A real snobbery.
Total snobbery about it. They're the same. When you're listening to the Monkees' early recordings, you're listening to the Beach Boys musicians.
Listen, I could talk to you tonight. I'm going to let you go. I have one final thing. I've had a text from a gentleman I believe you know. Do you know a Mr. Thomas Walsh?
I know Thomas Walsh. Is it a belt? Is it an equator? I know dear old Thomas.
From the excellent Pugwash. And by the way, kids, if you pick up nothing from this evening, go and listen to some Pugwash because it's a treat.
Pugwash are fantastic.
Ask him if we're ever going to record together.
I'm still thinking about it. I'm buying a larger fridge in case.
Oh, Andy, I love you so much. I genuinely, I think you're brilliant, and it's such an honour that you send me emails and stuff. Well, you know, I am, yes. Listen, I wish you the best. I'm so thrilled for you as well that the Monkees are going to do those songs. I'm excited, and I know that you're over the moon about it.
Yeah, I really, I just want the set now. I just want Macca to ring us up and say, Andy, you're right as a tune, will you, man? So, that was a very bad Macca impression.
I can do a good Macca. Hang on. You know, I invented the 60s. You know, the Beatles, that was my idea.
No, I think Donovan claimed he invented the 60s and everything in it.
There was a great I'm going to be late for it, doesn't matter. There was a great interview with Donovan on Radio 4 about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
And he invented everything?
He invented everything.
He wrote the moon landing, the fuzz pedal.
He wrote half of the White Album.
Yeah.
And he's very interesting. I've lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Any websites or anything that you need to plug? If people want to come and get your stuff, where do they go?
Should go to ape.uk.net if they want XTC back catalogue and the things I've recorded, and there's an awful lot of it since leaving XTC or since XTC fell to
bits. There's loads of stuff, yeah.
Or they should go to burningshed.com, which is a lovely site which sells the produce of lots of artists. It's like a really brilliant market stall. It sells stuff by Stephen Wilson and King Crimson and Jethro Tull and all that. And if you buy from Burning Shed, then the artists get a nicer cut of the money.
Beautiful.
Which is really good. So support musicians, please.
My sister has tweeted, this is brilliant. Can someone give Andy his own show? I could listen to him all day. You should do a radio show.
I don't think I'd have the patience for it. And I would do it if they let me play my choice of music. I wouldn't like any of that.
Danny Baker. Anyway, listen, Andy, it's a pleasure to talk to you, mate. I'll speak to you soon.
All righty. Well, I shall pick up my electric pygmy. He still won't let me plug him in and strum the evening away. So nice to talk to you.
I love you, Andy. Take care, mate.
See you, man.
Bye-bye.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's always... Here it is. Thank you.
This is the theme to Gary Show. The theme to Gary Show. Gary called me up and asked if I would write his theme song. I'm almost halfway finished. How do you like it so far? How do you like the theme to Gary Show? This is the theme to Gary Show. The opening theme to Gary Show. This is the music that you hear as you watch the credits. We're almost to the part of where I start to whistle. Then we'll watch It's Gary Shandling Show. This was the theme to Gary Shandling Show.
Oh! Gary Shandling passed away. Well, the name won't mean a lot to some of you, but man, the guy was a comedy genius. A genius. The Gary Shandling Show, Larry Sanders. He died at 66. I was only watching him 2 days ago. What was the terrible, terrible film I was watching that he popped up in? Oh, the second... It was a terrible film. The second Captain America film. I mean, really. As films go, I mean, it was exciting, but it was not... Well, saying that... And by the way, thank you, Andy Partridge from XTC. Man, I love that guy. And I love XTC. Two things. Go and check out Pugwash and go and get Skylarking by XTC. Honestly... Just pop classics, guys. And the book, of course, is Complicated Game, Inside the Songs of XTC. which I've got and I'm looking forward to reading. I went to the cinema the other day and I saw, well, it was not as bad as the Dad's Army film. 0844 499 1000, by the way, if you give us a call, we'll call you back. It wasn't as bad as the Dad's Army film, but it was terrible. It was terrible, but it was brilliant at the same time, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I watched London Has Fallen. Now, it's a stinker, but I don't know who the fella is that's in it. Hang on, Bobby.
Yeah.
Who's the fella in London Has Fallen?
I don't know.
He's in, and I watched it because I watched them the wrong way around. Then the other day, it's on Netflix. I watched Olympus Has Fallen, and it's about terrorists taking over the White House.
I haven't seen that either.
Oh. It's got a really big muscular... He's big? Sorry?
Nothing.
What was that? Did you just pop?
No, I just got an email through onto my phone.
And your email sound is a fart sound?
No, because I've got my phone on silent, so it vibrates.
Hang on, Bobby. My producer's just turned up. Where the heck have you been, man?
Oh, God, I'm really busy.
Yeah, you're supposed to be busy producing this show.
I am. I'm always here.
I asked you to turn
off
the...
I'll do that in a second.
Flipping.
Gerard Butler.
Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. It was Gerard Butler, yes.
So, you see, I'm producing it just next door.
The second part of the Andy Partridge interview.
Yep.
Put that on the podcast.
Right.
Or the first part. But the second part, he talks about the monkeys. That's what I'm interested in.
Of course that's what you're interested
Please
in.
Please get out.
Do you want me to turn the tellies off?
Yes, I'm talking to Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
Hello.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
She's keeping all right.
It's Gerard Butler. He talks...
Oh, I like him.
He talks out of the side of his mouth a bit. Scottish. But I don't...
Yeah.
Please, mate, I'm trying to do a show. I don't know if him talking out the side of the mouth is how he actually talks, Bobby, or if it was an affect... If he was acting...
I don't think he does.
Right. Okay. Okay. Right. Yeah. What have you called in for, Bobby?
I'm the nutter who started saying last night that we should get a petition for full podcast.
Oh yeah.
And I've started one.
Oh yeah.
I've tweeted you the link.
Did I? I retweeted it, didn't I?
I don't know.
I know that there is I think we're on a hiding to nothing, at least for the moment. I'm still working on it, although we got a knockback today. But I know that there is a petition. Is that... I've retweeted a petition.
When did you retweet it?
If there's more than one petition, then it will get watered down.
When did you retweet... Yeah, that's not me.
Oh, Bobby. How many signatures on yours?
Just mine, I think.
Nine. Right. Maybe there is no demand. Delete yours.
Okay.
But thank you.
Okay.
Here's a question, right? The podcast to one side. Has a petition ever actually achieved anything?
I do know of one. It didn't achieve its goal, but it did go quite far.
Hang on a minute. The question was, has a petition ever achieved its goal? He went, well, I didn't know one. It didn't achieve its goal. Well, then so no is the answer to that.
But it did go to Parliament and they did sort of discuss it and everything. So it went further than a lot of petitions do.
Right. And
but it didn't actually get...
What was it that the politicians discussed because of a petition?
It was a petition to get meningitis boosters.
Oh yeah.
Up to the age of 10, I think, because you only get them when you're a baby.
Did they vote that down?
Yes.
Oh, you miserable politicians! And they're miserable. Give the kiddies meningitis jabs.
I think it got like 500,000 signs.
But that's the thing about the petitions, right? Is it doesn't matter how many people sign it if they don't, if it doesn't achieve anything. So this is the question: 0844 499 1000. Has a petition ever actually achieved anything? Because I don't think it has.
No.
A million people. Went and marched in London against protesting against the Iraq war. I didn't achieve anything.
No, it wouldn't, though.
Why? Is a march...
The whole world could sort of protest against the Iraq war and it would still go ahead.
Well, no, hang on. If the whole... someone's got nine signatures. If the whole world protested, then there wouldn't be war.
Hmm? Okay, if the majority of the world then, because obviously there's got to be an opposition.
There's got to be an opposition. Well, Bobby, listen, I appreciate your interest and I appreciate you setting up the petition. But let's see what happens.
Yes.
Thank you, Bobby.
Bye.
Ta-ta, 0844-499-1000. Has a petition... we've got a break now. Has a petition ever actually achieved anything?
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Okay, so has a petition ever actually achieved anything? Because I can't think... I'm trying to think... of when someone's gone, oh, yeah, and the reason that that law was brought in is because some people wrote their names on a bit of paper. I don't think it ever has it? By the way, if you're new to the show, we're still early days. The way it works is we have a guest every now and then, normally a bit later. We had Andy on at 10, and it was an absolute joy, and we'll put some of that in the Best Of podcast. And for the rest of the show... you just kind of call up about stuff, basically. I'm going to sit here talking about things. You can call in about the things I am talking about, or if you call in about anything you want, really. We're trying to avoid on this show. We're trying to avoid. It was tricky last night. We're trying to avoid the usual late-night radio fare of, let's go through them, Brexit, Muslims, immigrants, black cabs... sweets from the 70s, kids' programmes from the 70s, and the 70s. That's what we're trying. That's what we're trying to avoid. We may yet introduce a rolling quiz. I don't know. I've not decided on that. 0844-499-1000. I can guarantee there's nothing like this on the radio at the moment. There may be a reason why there's nothing like this elsewhere on the radio at the moment. There may be a reason, and we'll find out when we get our listener figures in at some point. And I look at the, I finally log into my emails and see all the complaints that we've had. There may be a reason. We'll see. Oh, here comes the reason. It's Philip in South Norwood.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Philip. Isn't it a delight to talk to you on late night radio for the first time in about 5 years?
It is indeed, well, and it's really nice to talk to you. Sad though, it was. I mean, two people passed away that I know. Say Gary Shandling, which was very, very sad. I mean, his shows were fantastic with Rip Torn and Jeffrey Tambor.
I was saying to Catherine, my producer.
Right. Yes.
I said, "Oh, Gary Shandling's died." She went, "Who?"
Yeah.
I went, Gary Shandling? She went, no. I said, yeah, he was brilliant. I don't know.
He was,
So I then showed her some clips from Larry Sanders, and she was just sat there, stone-faced.
Yeah.
Stone-faced at Larry Sanders. The bit with William Shatner on the phone. Stone-faced.
I mean, he was... and the other person who passed away, so you might not know him, but I saw him in a lot of things, was Mr. Ken Howard. Do you know Ken Howard?
What, the politician?
No. Ken Howard appeared... the most series that most people would know was a series called Crossing Jaws. With Jill Hennessy.
Oh, you're literally making things up now, Philip. You've been calling me for years with these TV programmes and films, and you have made this up.
This series was shown on ITV late night and also on cable. It was a series, and he appeared in 49 episodes. The first time I saw Ken Howard was in a series back in 78 called The White Shadow.
Yes.
In which he played a basketball teacher at a school.
You can't get a white shadow.
Oh, well, I think it was because he was the only white person in the team, you see. I mean, he was the coach.
Ah!
And it was a school that was predominantly black, and that they...
Could you call a TV programme now about a white man with lots of black people... The White Shadow.
I don't know. I mean,
could you do that
on the premise of the story? Also, he appeared in Rock 30, which I believe you heard about, haven't you?
Yeah, I watched one episode. Yeah,
yeah. And he was also in The Colbys. He was in Dynasty. And I tell you what, going back to The White Shadow for a moment, there is a clip on YouTube from The White Shadow in which the Harlem Globetrotters, come to the school.
Here's the thing, kids listening to this, right? When I was growing up, one of the most successful entertainment troupes in the world. They weren't dancers. They weren't singers. They weren't even impressionists. They were a basketball team.
Yeah,
they were a basketball team. And they would tour the world doing comedy basketball.
Yeah.
They had their own cartoon series.
They did indeed, you're right.
And didn't they have a record out or something?
I believe they did. I think they had music because it was made to the best of my knowledge by the people who did the cartoon with the Jackson 5 and the Beatles. Do you remember the Beatles had their own?
Yeah. Hang on a second. This might be it. Hang on. Let me see if I can get this to it. Here we go. Yeah. Here we go. Oh,
hey,
here we go.
Coming down the street.
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that good man with the bone.
Sure having himself a ball.
Hang on a minute, we're doing kids' TV shows from the 70s, and I've just said that's not what we do!
Yeah, because it wasn't one of the teams, a co-op thing. Wasn't he called Meadowlark Lemon or something?
Meadow Lemon. That was my nickname at school.
And also, Ian, another bit of news for you.
Yes.
Did you ever watch Please Sir with John Alderton?
Of course I watched Please Sir with John Alderton.
I've got some news for you.
Don't tell me John Alderton's died.
No. David Barry, who played Frankie Abbott, has written a play, an hour play, about what Frankie Abbott is doing today. And it's touring.
Hang on, this is too meta. So, a man called...
The guy called David Barry was the guy who played Frankie Abbott.
Okay, right. I thought it was the actor had written a play about what the actor was doing now.
No, it's about what the character is doing. David Barry has written a play
David
about
Bowie.
What Frankie Abbott is doing today.
David Bowie and Frankie Howard.
No, Frankie Abbott. And what I understand about the play, which I'm going to see next month in Epsom, what it is, he's in an old people's home. And all he can talk about, because of his age, is of his memories of when he was at school, you see.
Yeah.
There's only two people in the play.
Is John Alderton going to be in it?
No. I'll tell you who's in it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's in it with him. His nurse is played by Linda Regan, who was...
Spider Woman, Wonder Woman.
No. Linda Regan was Ruth Maddock's assistant in Heidi Hi.
Hoody Ho, thank you very much indeed. Christopher's on the line.
Hello,
Christopher.
Two things.
Yes.
Number one, you're absolutely 100% right about Pugwash, right?
Yeah.
And they're
Have you climbed up some steep steps or something?
Why?
You're a bit breathy tonight. A little bit breathy.
No, I'm just a pervert.
I was at Marylebone Underground Station, and I had to go to Marylebone Mainline Station. For those around the country, I know that I try not to be too London-centric, but there are train stations in London. I was in London. What do you expect? And it was a really steep escalator, and for some reason, there was a big queue to get to the escalator, right? And then I saw the stairs, and I thought, I'm having this. So I climbed up the stairs. Now, about a quarter of the way up this incredibly steep staircase, I thought, I really have made a terrible mistake here. But you can't turn around and go back down the stairs. You've got to go with it. And also, Christopher, you can't show signs of weakness. So I was powering up those stairs two at a time. I've got long legs. Halfway up there, I'm thinking, I can do it. The end is in sight. Three-fifths of the way up there, I thought I was going to die. My left arm started throbbing. And I looked over and I realised I've set myself a really fast pace. I'm walking at the same pace as the people on the escalator. And I'm neck and neck with this girl who's about 12 years old, right? And she's staring at me and she can tell. She can tell that I am yay close to actually having a full-on heart attack, a full-on Russell, right? And I'm thinking, right, well, I can't give up. And I cannot let this 12-year-old girl know that I'm in severe pain. So what I did was I smiled at her, a little smile, stood up straight, and I powered all the way up there. And I was dying. My legs were gone, everything. And I had to go and find the time for a train. So I went into the information booth, right, waited for that girl to go, and then I collapsed on the counter. And the man behind the counter said, "Are you all right, mate?" And I went, "No, I'm absolutely flipped." He said, "Oh, did you walk up the steps?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, I've done that once. Never do it again." I agreed with him. Why are you making me tell you that story, Christopher?
I don't know, because I phoned up about petitions.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Petitions, right? So The answer is probably no. Petitions have not ever made anything change. But well,
thanks for calling.
There is a petition in Australia following the episode of The Simpsons set in Australia where they are asking to change the currency to dollary doos.
And how successful do you think that's going to be?
Well, you know, I'm hopeful.
Thanks for calling, Christopher. Noah's on the line.
All right, fine, Earthlet.
I don't know how to handle you because I only know you as an argumentative. What's something that's not a swear word? The provocateur, an agent provocateur. And yet you're nice with me, so I'm waiting for you to turn.
Well, I could turn with you a little bit on the second Captain America movie, maybe.
Did you like it?
Which one was it? Was it the second TV Captain America movie or the one that was in the cinema?
The one that was in the... The one that was in the cinema where he asked...
The Winter Soldier.
It was the Winter Soldier, yes.
I actually think that's the best superhero movie since The Dark Knight.
Oh, you are having a laugh.
No, I'm serious.
You're joking!
I'm one of the few people that actually enjoyed the first Avenger. But the second one completely blew it out of the water. I just dig the storyline of this relic from World War II who fought and defeated Hitler and the forces of Hydra,
yes,
and the Red Skull, and he now lives in this high-tech Big Brother police state and he tries to bring it down from within. It captures the zeitgeist of our times.
Well, hang on a minute. The first Captain America films captures the zeitgeist of our times.
No, the second one.
The second one does. Yes, you're absolutely right. It really... What? Because there's a mad bloke with long hair and a metal arm going around punching buses.
No, it's not that. It's more like the police state, the surveillance state, the shadow government, the Alex Jones stuff.
Alex Jones. You don't buy into that Alex Jones nonsense, do you?
Hang on a minute. I've met Alex Jones and I've spoken to him a couple of times. And
I bet he's
a very nice fellow.
I bet he's an absolutely delightful bloke. I've seen him being interviewed. I've seen the John Ronson programme on him. But most of what he says is bullshine.
Oh, I disagree. He maybe accentuates it a little bit and he's hyperactive, but people need dramatic examples.
Have you seen
their apathy?
Go on YouTube. Have you seen the documentary with John Ronson and Alex Jones, where Alex Jones breaks into the Bilderberg group?
Are you talking about Order of Death?
No.
The one where he breaks into Bohemian Grove, yeah, I've got that one
No. You've... Oh, you know that the government are monitoring your iPhone right now.
Yeah, no, I don't care. If you're being monitored, go big.
Go hard or go home, I think is the phrase.
Yeah.
No, what you've got is the Alex Jones account of what happened when he broke into Coconut Grove. But if you watch the John Ronson documentary, John Ronson is waiting in the hotel when Alex Jones comes back and he sees the footage and he goes, yeah, but there's not much happening.
Well, I'll have to look it out, obviously.
Thanks
for the tip.
It's a pleasure.
I do agree with you, though, about the other movies you mentioned, Dad's Army and the Olympus and London's Fallen films. I do agree with you there.
Dad's Army, right, was flipping off. I hated Dad's Army anyway, the TV series, but I found myself at a loose end with 2 hours to kill and I was stood next to a cinema. I thought, I'll go in. The only film they had on was Dad's Army, right? And it was awful. There was one laugh, right, where Mannering says, all right, gentlemen, you can ask me anything you want. And the bloke, one of them says, what happens if we're just somebody's dream and we don't really exist? And I thought
that's been done before. That wasn't that funny. It's been done before by Outnumbered. The one I liked was where one of them was dressed up as a tree and the other one decided to relieve himself.
Yes, he had a whittle, yeah. But overall, it was very, very poor. Anyway, did you call in for anything specific, Noah?
Well, it was mainly about Captain America, but this thing about petitions. There is one example of where Petition did succeed.
Yes.
And it was back in the dark days of Gordon Brown.
Oh, yeah.
They were thinking of introducing road tolls.
Yes.
And someone organised a petition, and 1.7 million people signed it in about 48 hours, and they had to drop the proposal.
So, we have got one example of... Thank you for that. Now, I've got to move on, because we've got to go to a break. We have one example of... it just confuses me. Why does it use the name Noah? Anyway, we have one example of a petition that had an impact where Gordon Brown was forced to drop road tolls. Are there any other examples?
Talk Radio.
I like the presumptive nature of that. You're going to love Talk Radio. Well, judging from some of the comments I've had on Twitter, not all of you do, and that's fine. Evening, it's Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000. Give us a call, we'll call you back. The show is still finding its feet. What's it about? Well, nothing, really. You can call in about petitions, you can call in about Captain America, or you can call in about anything you want. I tell you what, we'll speak to Paul after the latest news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Oh, Gary Shandling, you're such a funny comedian. Oh, Gary Shandling, you're so funny. Yes, you are. Oh, Gary Shandling, do you like to play basketball? Gary Shandling, if you ever want to play basketball with me, I would do that. Let me tell you my phone number and you can call me. My phone number is 603-644-0048. Now back to my song. Oh, Gary Shandling, I really love the Larry Sanders Show. I watched every single episode. I really liked it a lot. Oh, Gary Shandling, you're such an intelligent person. Oh, Gary Shandling, you are my best friend.
Ah. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Give us a call, we'll call you back. And we're kind of talking about anything that you want to talk about, really. Paul's from St Albans. Good evening, Paul.
Hi, MIT.
What you got for us, boss?
I just want to pick up the ball about the people have protesting and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, go on. Pick up the
I
ball.
Can't remember any that have actually worked. As in, they had the thing against the Afghanistan war.
Yeah.
1.5 million people turned out in London and clocked it all up. We still went ahead and done it. The miners' strike, that went ahead. No one wanted that.
Strikes are different.
And okay, sorry.
I'm not telling you off. Don't worry, we're not telling you off.
I'm passionate.
Well, I know that because I've seen your genitals.
Oh, look. I wasn't going to bring that up again.
Leave it out.
Tonight.
You did leave it out. Yeah.
No.
Steady. No, the thing about strikes, right, is that there are strikes that have worked.
Name one.
Okay, well, the thing about strike is it's not trying to get a definite thing, it's trying to reach a compromise. The strikes recently about, again, London-centric, I apologise, rest of country, but it's the first one that springs to mind. The ones about 24-hour tube service, all the workers went on strike, but they are now happy with the terms and conditions. And we're going to get 24-hour tube service. I mean, who wants to use the tube at 3:30 in the morning? I don't know, but we're going to get it. So that was a successful strike.
Okay, I didn't know that bit, but no, we are becoming a 24/7 society, so I understand that. Okie dokie.
But petitions and marches don't work.
I don't think so.
No, they don't. They don't. There's no. The only petition we've got that worked so far was one about Gordon Brown stopping road tolls. Stopping Jethro tolls. Paul, listen, thank you very much indeed. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You're more than welcome to. You kind of got the vibe of the show. You call in and talk about anything. So far, we've talked about the monkeys. We'll talk about that a lot. Captain America, petitions, and just loads of other rubbish, really. That's kind of as deep as we're going to get. If you want the serious stuff, if you want the Brexit and the Muslims and the immigrants and the black cabs, you've got your LBC, you've got your BBC London, you've got all of that. You've got Ian Collins and Duncan Box. Good luck to them. More power to their elbow. This is kind of just a bit more. Well, it's significantly more relaxed. I don't know what the show is exactly. I don't know what we're kind of evolving and slowly getting there. Let's go to line two. It's Barry from Watford. Good evening, Barry.
Hello there. Don't know if you remember me. I phoned last night, Barry from Watford.
Yesterday?
Last night.
Yesterday?
I believe I said last night.
You mean yesterday?
Well, last night.
Okay. So, you phoned yesterday?
Well, I phoned last night. Do you remember, Barry?
From Watford?
Yes. Last night I phoned.
Yesterday?
Barry.
From Watford?
Yes. I phoned last night.
Yesterday?
Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
Did you phone yesterday?
Last night, Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
Did you phone last night?
No, yesterday, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't. Let's try and focus on today. I don't remember.
Okay.
It wasn't. Don't take this the wrong way.
Oh, okay. Go on.
I'd say this with ultimate respect.
Okay.
It didn't. It's not struck a chord with me. I don't remember it. So it was obviously one of the less significant phone calls. We had a great phone call yesterday.
Yes, last night.
Yeah, we had some great phone calls yesterday. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's a little bit disappointing, you say.
We had Alan Caddick phoning in. He was he's always good value.
No disrespect, you said, but a little bit hurtful.
We had that young someone phoning up playing lots of music.
Yeah, not quite.
What were you talking about? Because I don't remember it.
Well, I wanted to talk about the Brexit.
No.
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 That's not what I'm phoning about tonight.
Good, because we're not going to be talking about the Brexit.
Not even touching.
Not touching your Brexit
brushing,
at all.
Brushing the Brexit.
We are going to leave the Brexit
Tickling
sheathed.
The Brexit.
The Brexit is sheathed. I don't care if it's...
Probing the exit. Now, I just want to tickle the exit for a second. What I want to say is this. Where do you get off slagging off Dad's army? Where do you get off slagging off Dad's army? One of the finest sitcoms this country produced.
Well, two things, right?
Oh, go on.
Yeah, thank you. Two things. First of all, have you seen the latest movie?
No, I haven't.
It's rubbish.
Oh.
Secondly... The TV series was rubbish as well. It's nothing. No.
Go on.
I'm going to, if you shut up.
Yes.
Thank you. There is nothing funny about a load of old men and one man pretending to be old, Clive Dunn.
Yes.
Because he was very young.
Yes.
Being all doddery. Oh, there come the Germans. Oh, look out. Oh, there's nothing funny about someone pretending to be an old man and pretending to be all doddery. It's not funny.
No, quite right. But as all those wonderful catchphrases. Don't worry. Don't worry, Captain Manorin. He goes, don't worry. Watson, get the men to line up, Watson. It goes, wonderful. And people like you...
Yeah?
Yes.
People like you...
Enemies of this country.
Oh, shut up!
Yes, you are.
What do you mean, an enemy of the country?
That's one of the things, one of the cultural signposts or something of this... Well, not signposts, that's a stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
One of the cultural... flag posts.
Lisa on Twitter has said Dad's army is a load of old...
Well, who's she then?
Well, she's Lisa on Twitter.
No doubt she wants to stay in Europe and all.
Oh, are we not talking...
No doubt she doesn't want a Brexit.
I want you to put your Brexit away. We're not talking about it.
Hill,
I'm going to cut you off. we go. Okie dokie. Oh, 0844 499 1000. Early on Talk Radio. Let's go to Kyle. Evening, Kyle.
Hello, Ian. You all right?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah.
Good. Well, you know, I've rang in a few of your shows in my time.
Yes.
I like to think we have a laugh.
Well. I'll be the judge of that.
That's fine. However, yeah. I think you will join me in solidarity. I'm absolutely gutted about Gary Shandling.
Yeah. Sad, isn't it? Sad, isn't it? He's only 66. And it's funny because I was talking to someone the other day. I was going to lend them my Gary Shandling box set. And then I saw him pop up in Captain America. And I thought, he looked ill in that. He'd got very rotund. And he looked old in it, but then he passed away today. That's terrible. It's terrible.
So that was it. I just, you know, like I said, I bought the DVD. So I don't know what else to say. I just remember watching it.
You can say goodbye.
Do you want me to say goodbye? You say goodbye first.
No, you say goodbye first.
Well,
okay. Dan's on the line. Morning, Dan.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
No flipping.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk to you, Ian, about popcorn.
Yeah. Do you know, that sentence would have been so delightful and creepy at the same time if it had ended, "I just want to talk to you, Ian."
I know. I can do creepy if you want me to do creepy.
You're kind of doing it a little bit now.
I do it usually.
Okay. Are you Dan on Twitter?
I am Dan on Twitter.
Because you don't sound anything like your picture implies.
What does my picture imply?
That you'd have a deeper voice, not in any way quite... Right. You've got a manly voice. You have a man's voice.
I have been told I sound a little camp.
There is a little bit. But I expect it to be a bit deeper. And I'll be honest, a bit more common.
No, I'm tremendously posh.
You're quite well spoken.
Yeah, I am. I was working on the phones. I'm not anymore.
What do you mean working on the phones? You were doing a sex line.
Well, I'm not legally allowed to say.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. What you got for us, Dan?
I wanted to talk about popcorn.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I was going to do it last night, but the missus came home and she said, "We're not listening to the radio. Can we watch something on telly?"
Oh, blimey! Listen to her.
Yeah, no. But the thing you were saying about popcorn last night was, very simply, when did it become a snack? And I would agree with you on this matter.
Yeah.
What other snack exists that makes you choke?
Yeah.
It's the canals, they stick in your throat.
It's, the what?
The canals. Is that what they're called?
They're called
kernels.
Kernels. Oh, yeah, it's funny, you've reminded me, I heard a word... Oh! Right, I heard a word pronounced today, right? That I've never heard before. I don't actually know what it is. I know it's a type of food, okay? And I heard it, maybe it was in an advert, or I don't know what it was on, right? I'm going to spell a word to you, Dan, and I want you to pronounce it, right?
I shall do so.
C-H...
Yes.
I-P...
Yep.
O-T...
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
L-E.
Yeah.
How would you pronounce that?
I say chipotle.
Right, I would say chipotle. Ed,
yes.
Ed, how would you pronounce that?
Chipotle.
Chipotle. He's coming over here, he's teaching us our own language. Chipotle. It's chipotle.
There's an episode of South Park where they pronounce it chipotle.
Well, what the hell? First of all, do you know what it is, Dan?
It's spicy food, isn't it, basically?
Is it? I'd never heard it pronounced chipotle before.
I believe as well there's a chain of fast food joints in America who have that name and recently had to close the whole chain for a week due to hygiene issues.
Well, what is it, a dirty word?
It's not a dirty word.
Have you ever been inside Five Guys?
I'm at a loss.
You've never been in Five Guys? You've never just popped in Five Guys for a quick one?
Carol Decker was in the restaurant next door.
Carol Decker owns a big meaty barbecue restaurant. That's not an innuendo. She does. She owns her and her fella. I love Carol Decker. Her and her fella own Like a barbecue, like, anyway, I can't go into any more detail because I can't remember. Dad, listen, thank you very much indeed. Five Guys, if you've ever been in Five Guys, just for a quick one, give us a call, 0844 499 1000.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
They got Dan Chuck, huh? They got Dan Chuck. Wowzers. 0844. They got Dan Chuck, guys. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Welcome to the show. It's weird, I haven't done a late night show for about 4.5 years, nearly 5 years, right? And I've done breakfast a lot. So I'm still trying to get my head around doing an unstructured phone-in show where we don't really talk about anything. And on top of that, I've had a really lousy day today. Just, I've had a blinding headache all day. I've kind of, the black dog has been sat, not just in my bedroom, on my chest today. Well, that reminds me, tomorrow, I've got Matt Haig on. He's flipping brilliant, right? He's absolutely brilliant. And I've only met him once briefly, and I got a bit starstruck. He wrote a brilliant book about depression called Reasons to Stay Alive, which is a lot more fun than it sounds like. But on top of that, He's written some brilliant books, including my boy's favourite book over Christmas, A Boy Named Christmas. Oh, it's a corker. It's a corker. He's coming on tomorrow, and we'll talk about his books and we'll talk about depression. Anyway, the black dog was not just in my bedroom today. It was sat on my chest. Wayne, it's been a tough old day, you know? A real tough old day, and I managed to kind of... I had some stuff to do today, and I cancelled it. I cancelled everything. And I managed to drag myself into Talk Towers. So it's the first time in a long time I've done a show when I'm feeling like, you know, like I'd rather jump off a tall building. And I don't say that lightly. I'm not, maybe a slight exaggeration, but... So just bear with us. You know, it's up and down, and it's an evolving thing, this show. 0844 499 1000. We'll take calls straight to air after midnight. If we call up now, we'll give you a call back. There's an amazing... Now, I can say this word. I would normally hesitate, but I heard John Holmes saying this word the other day, so I'm going to say it, right? There is an outrageous headline in The Sun, and the first time I read it, I couldn't work it out. I was like, I don't get it. Well, I had to read the story to see if I was missing something, and I wasn't, right? It's Pippa Middleton. Okay, I'll tell you the story, then I'll do the headline, okay? And if you've not seen it, I think you'll be shocked by it. Pippa Middleton. A giant hare gets pipped at the post, that's clever, by a Middleton in a fun run. Okay, so it's Pippa Middleton running, looking very glamorous. And then behind her, there's a bloke dressed up as a rabbit, right? Oh, wait, 444-99-1000. Pippa, 32, whose bum made headlines at it's 2016, guys. At Sister Kate's wedding to Prince William in 2011, is an ambassador of the Mary Hare, as opposed to the Hairy Mare, the Mary Hare School for Deaf Children. She's done a fun run for deaf kiddies, right? It staged the Hare and Tortoise charity run in Newbury, Berkshire. If Wills takes part next year, it'll be the Hare and Tortoise. Right, so she's done a bit of good. She's done a fun run for a school for deaf kiddies. All right, brilliant. The headline. Bearing in mind, there is a picture of a woman who's famous for her bottom and a man dressed as a rabbit. The Tort Arse and the Hare. I realise I'm saying that. We've got a 10-year-old on the line. Blimey. The Tort Arse and the Hare. That's a headline in a newspaper in 2016. How the flippin' heck is that possible? How can they get away with that? Am I overreacting? Am I overreacting? That to me seems incredible. She's actually going out and doing a little bit of good. And they're having a pop like that. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. If you call us up, we'll call you back. We'll get Kath in a bit. She's, I think they're just trying to sober her up. Wilson is on the line. Wilson is on the line.
Hello.
Hello. Star of the newspaper, The Telegraph. You were in The Telegraph, Wilson.
Yes, I know, Ian, and I was very surprised. But to be perfectly honest, I think that you were the you're the biggest star. No. You're awesome, Ian.
No, no, no. Right. So they the Telegraph reviewed this show, right, and they gave it a very nice review. Thank you, guys. 5 stars.
Yeah.
And they said something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing, but the highlight of the show was 10-year-old caller Wilson, who called in and said, Ian, you're the best thing on the radio, apart from Danny Baker.
Danny Baker.
Yeah. Yeah, flip it, heck, man. That's good. Well done. You should be proud of yourself. Not only were you in The Telegraph, but you destroyed me at the same time.
Nah.
How you doing, man? You all right? Has life has quite... life changed since you've been in a broadsheet newspaper?
No.
You're speaking with an American accent, and you didn't used to. You used to be a very posh English child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very American. Oh. Yeah. Have you ever been to America?
When I was very young, but I can't remember anything.
How old were you when your parents took... I'm assuming your parents took you. You weren't kidnapped or anything.
No, I wasn't kidnapped.
OK, so your parents took you. How old were you?
I was 2.
Now, here's the thing, right? And they would have had to have bought... At 2, yeah, they would have had to have bought a ticket for you. I think it's up to 18 months you can kind of go for free, and then after that you've got to get a ticket. Yeah. A full-price ticket, right? That was a waste of money, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah.
Because you don't remember it.
And I remember, like, the tiniest fragments, no, like 2 seconds.
No, you don't. You don't. You remember being told... You have built up an image in your head of things that you were told about it and looking at photos. And you have brought those photos to life by hearing the stories. And you think you remember it. You don't remember nothing at 2.
Yeah, not much.
No, nothing. You remember nothing. And it makes me think of all the times I took my boys out before... I'm going to say the age of 3. By 3, you're remembering stuff, right?
I think that's pretty much the point. I remember, 3 and up.
So, exactly, right? So, here's a tip. If you're expecting a child or if you've got young babies, here's a tip from me, right? Save your money. Don't do nothing with them for the first 3 years of their life. Because it's a waste. They won't remember it.
Because it's like, oh, no, I've never been to, you know, something.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you have. You were 2. When you went there.
Would you take me? Why did you take me then, Mum? Why didn't you take me when I was 10? Why don't you take me now? The money that you spent on the tickets then, you could have put into a bank, you'd have got a little bit of interest, put it in an ISA, and then you could have taken me now. You could have taken me now. You don't love me. You loved that baby. You don't love me now. Sorry, that's a little bit of my own angst coming out, Wilson. I apologise. I saw my therapist today, and it's just... It was a tough session. Tough session. Sorry, you being tickled? What's that? What's going on there?
I'm slightly insane.
Have you been drinking?
Nope.
Hey, you been drinking that warm milk?
No.
Good. I had a glass of warm milk the other night. Yeah, I did. And it was... the thing was, right, someone had cooked, like, a curry or something, something really stinky, in the microwave. And
why did you do that?
Because it stank. Huh. And then so I warmed the milk up, right, in the microwave. Should always boil it, really, in a pan. I couldn't be bothered. And I warmed it in the microwave. And so the milk came out tasting of, like, stinky curry.
Well, that's horrible.
So I had to... But I wanted the effect, because warm milk makes you sleepy for 20 minutes. What? That's a fact. That's a scientific fact.
Is it?
Yeah, that is a fact. 20 minutes. It's like lettuce. Lettuce makes you sleepy.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you can't sleep, eat some lettuce. Never give a lettuce to a cat, a rabbit, because it'll knock the rabbit out. Sure. Unless they've got... There's a place with a guard rabbit, right, that you need to knock out so you can get in and steal the jewels. There are some places that do.
Yeah.
Then you feed it lettuce and it will fall asleep. Beautiful. You're in. But never give it to a normal rabbit.
Well, I had some warm milk the other day. It was... we just got this new coffee machine. And the
With the pods?
What?
Is it got...
Oh, yeah, one of those.
Yeah, yeah. You'll soon get bored of that.
The froth on the side.
Yeah.
But it didn't come out as well on the first try, so I basically just drunk that.
Hang on a minute. You drinking coffee from the pod machine?
No.
Good. Okay. What is
no,
the?
No, because they do the like froth on the side.
Okay.
You
yeah.
need to pick it up.
Those pod machines, they're fun until I realise. Get this right.
What?
I was spending 60 quid a month on pods.
That is true, yeah.
60 quid a month? That's like £795 a year.
The thing is, you can only get them, they were saying in the store where we got it,
yeah.
there's only like five locations yeah. in the UK.
Got to order them online. But then, yeah. like Tesco have brought out their own cheap pods.
Have they?
Yeah, they have. But here's the thing.
I've got a Tesco's down the road.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. They don't taste as good as the real pods.
Oh.
So we stopped using it. I just stopped. But anyway, I'm off the caffeine now anyway, so you don't know why we're having this conversation. What age can children legally and ethically drink coffee?
Well, I'm drinking some... You know, I'm drinking coffee every now and then.
You drink what?
I drink coffee.
You drink coffee at the age of 10?
Yeah.
You're having a laugh. That's got...
I don't think there's a... law against it. I think it's just obviously not like 2-year-olds when
Well, what age did you
coffee.
What age did you start drinking coffee?
Around 8.
Right, your parents are bad parents, Wilson. I've got to say no, they are.
Well, no. When I was 8, I was only drinking like a cup like a month, but now I'm drinking it, you know, every now and then. Yeah?
Wow. Wow, I'm outraged. I'm furious. And we've got your details, so I'm going to pass them on to social services, Wilson.
Well, Ian,
yes?
When you were speaking of being outraged, I was on the line,
yeah.
and I think that speaking about that thing,
yeah,
the newspaper headlining, do you know what? I was surprised that you weren't angrier. That's insane. 2016.
It's 2016. And Wilson, I'm going to let you go because I'm embarrassed that I said it when there was a 10-year-old online. But that headline about Pippa, it's incredible, isn't it? 0844 499 1000. Am I crazy? What, 10-year-olds drinking coffee? What the hell is the world coming to?
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio. This is day four. It's day four. I know. We're a long way off. Oh no. Carpet Martin says, Wilson has Drew Barrymore written all over him. Coffee at 10? That sounds a little bit... I remember drinking tea when I was about 7, cups of tea, and I used to slurp it from the spoon. But am I right, geeky girl? Coffee at 10, that's just not the done thing, is it?
Hello.
And go.
There we are.
There we go. You got a bell. Nice bell. Where'd you get that from?
Well, actually... True story, I...
You stole it from your grandmother. You fed your grandmother lettuce, so she fell asleep, and then you stole her bell.
You're right about lettuce. It does work. It's weird, isn't it?
It is. What's the word? Soporific. Thank you very much indeed. I knew I wasn't getting it right, and I just...
It was close.
It was close, but it wasn't good enough. Flippin' heck, I've been speaking English for the last 17 years of my life. You would think I know soporific by now.
Well, jot it down, and then you can use it next time.
Okay, hold on a second. Soporific, got it, beautiful.
Yeah, so shall I tell you the sad story about that bell? It's not sad, it's about sad about me, okay?
So it's a sad as in a sad case, not as in it's so sad.
No. There's enough sad stuff going on in the world right
Isn't
now.
Isn't there
Let's
just?
Focus on...
Most of it's happening on LBC right now. Yes!
Well, what happened was, before I gave the bell to my nan, I made a recording of it, just in case I was going to call the rabbit hole.
You made a recording of the bell?
And the rabbit hole temporarily ended.
For those who don't know, it was a radio show that me and Kath did in another place, yes.
Which might occur...
Well, this is the thing, right? We were talking, but the way it worked, dear listener, for those who don't know, is me and Kath just talking. We play music. We play really odd music. And then people would phone up and we would just kind of open the line and they would join in the conversation. So we wouldn't go, hey, geeky girl, you're on. Just if you could hear us, you were probably on and you would join in the conversation or not. And we were going to do that. We were going to try and do that here on a Friday. But the last hour of the show this week has kind of been a little bit like that anyway, with calls straight to air. So I don't know. So I'm having a little rethink.
Okay.
But as I said, I'm giving myself 3 weeks to kind of get a handle on what this show is and what I want it to be.
It takes time. It's going to evolve in the right way.
And I'm not beating myself up about it. I know that there are some other presenters here who are really, you know, they're putting a lot of effort into it, and they're really thinking about how they want to evolve it, and this didn't work and that didn't work, and they're getting a bit frustrated. I'm just like, let's just see what happens. Let's just see what happens. And I've been very happy with it so far.
Yeah, I mean, in the different incarnations of your shows in different places, you've kind of steered them to evolve in what was the right way for that time, you know?
The thing is, right, I'm a proper, as you know, I'm a proper radio geek. I flipping love radio. And I know what I like and I knows what I don't like, and I don't know how that sentence ends, so I'm going to stop it there. What you got for us?
Oh, well, other than to show you the embarrassing clip of the bell, I just wanted to remind you about that message voicemail. You said you'd have a number for today.
Yeah, I have got a number, and I can't think what it is.
No worries, just a friendly reminder.
Phone? No, I'll give you the number. Hang on a second. Cass, you coming in or what?
I'm getting the coat, it's freezing in it.
Flipping it? Yeah, get your coat, love.
Is she knitting it?
She can't knit. She's never knitted in her life.
I saw that photo she put on Twitter.
She's right. I'll give out the phone number. You ready? Hang on a second. You got pen and paper?
I have a pen and paper. I hope that other listeners do as well.
Right, you can leave a message on this number for me, right? 0208.
6732. 6732.
And that's anyone, right? If that's anyone, you want to give us a call and leave a message for me. 0208 133 6732.
So that's anyone listening on the podcast or listening to the whole show and listening
in. Yeah. Just leave a message, I'll check it at some point. I'll check it at some point.
Fantastic, and then everyone can join in.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wonderful.
See, I'm a man of my word.
You are.
And my next word is I'm going to cut you off.
Good evening.
Oh,
Gatford.
Good evening.
Hang on a second. Where the hell have you been, woman?
It's a long story. It's a long and boring story.
Oh, have you been in trouble with the computers?
Better than trouble with the law.
Gatford, I've had one of those days where
bit boring. Does it get more boring, or is this as boring as it gets?
I feel like crying.
Okay, it's getting really boring. But you're trying to make me feel bad. Shut up, Gatford. Now you're trying to be making me feel bad.
You should feel bad
because you're playing the crying card.
I'm not gonna, but I feel like it.
Well, I have been crying today. So, who wins?
Oh, let's Gatford. Get in touch with Alfie. What? Come on.
Yeah, keep out of this.
Teary top trumps.
Oh. Teary top trumps. How many times have you cried today?
Today, I had a little weep.
Okay. Just one? This one? Okay. I'll play my hand in a second. For how long?
Well, you didn't notice.
There you go, you see. I've cried
at
least...
Do you know why? Because I'm dignified.
I cried at least 3 times for, I would say, about an hour and a half in total. Oh. Boom shakalak!
I'm not sure whether you win or you lose.
Exactly. Exactly.
I win because I haven't cried.
Oh, good for you. I wish I didn't cry.
Yeah. I'll probably cry tomorrow.
What would make you cry, Gatford?
Well, one thing. What on earth are you doing on the air on bank holidays?
Well,
that would make me cry if I had to go to work on the Easter Monday.
In the words of Gordon Gekko, money never sleeps, pal. Money never sleeps.
I always work bank holidays. We won't get any phone calls on a bank holiday, by the way.
Why? They're not doing anything now.
No, never do.
But
never do.
The kids are off. So won't they call you and do the proddy?
No,
and
we never.
And also, they'll be drunk. They'll be drunk as lords.
Trust me, guys. Trust me. We will get hardly any phone calls on bank holiday on Good Monday.
Well, it's fine. Do you know what we can do?
Yeah. Is it called Good Monday?
Should be
Easter Monday.
Easter Monday.
We can play Uno.
Yeah. Oh man, alive.
+4, I win.
Fair play.
Yeah, fair play. I was given tea in my bottle at a very young age. Didn't do me any harm.
Well,
I give my kids tea.
Wilson drinks coffee at the age of 10.
Alan Border.
That is out of... Who's Alan Border?
Don't know. It rhymes with out of order.
Okay. That is insane.
He's an Australian cricketer.
Please. What is going on between you two? I'm getting a very sticky, sexual sense.
Well,
keep it to yourself.
He's a very attractive man.
Well, now you're just taking the mic.
What? I'm
not. Can't deny it.
What are you being sarcastic for?
I'm not being sarcastic.
Don't be rude about him. He can't help it.
Oh.
Gaffer, I can't tell if you're being nice or not, Ian.
He's not.
The tortoise.
No.
And the hair.
Do you know what? That sounds to me like somebody saw that on Twitter and thought that'll be the headline.
I bet they did.
I mean, it's like, it really is. It's like, what in 140 characters can we put on the front of a newspaper?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, it was page 37.
Oh, okay. Oh, so what are you making such a big deal of it for? It wasn't the front page.
He thinks it's an outrageous slur against a young woman who is so much more than that.
Here's a film I'm never going to go and see, and I've seen the trailer for it 15 times.
Okay.
Eddie the Flippin' Eagle Edwards. Why would I want to go and say... I've been to the cinema a lot, Gatford, as it's therapy to try and pull me out of my breakdown, right? And I've every time I see the trailer for Eddie the Eagle Edwards, right, every flipping time, it looks... He was rubbish. Why would I want to see a film about him? If he was rubbish, the film would be double rubbish.
He wasn't rubbish. He was spirited. He was brave.
He's a nice lad. I've worked with him.
He's also a lot more attractive in the film. Fair play to him.
I went ice skating with him.
Did you?
For maybe the one show.
Oh.
Because someone thought that would be a wacky idea.
Do you like the one show?
But the thing was is that the rest of the world kind of laughed because he was this plucky British guy.
He was what?
Plucky.
Thank you.
Plucky, thank you. He jumped like about, what, 10 feet or something?
Yeah, but that slope is steep.
Yeah, but the idea is it was the Olympics. You were supposed to be good.
Yeah, no, but...
Look at him.
Oh, but it's also have a go, isn't it? Oh, no, that's a fun run.
That's a fun run.
We're all winners. No, we're not. Ooh. Only the winners are winners. Gatford, thank you very much indeed. 0844 499 1000.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Here's... I'm looking at a two-page spread... about Eddie the Eagle Edwards, the movie.
Yes.
Guess who directed it?
I know. Dexter Fletcher.
Dexter Fletcher
from Press Gang.
The Press Gang. From the Press Gang directed it. And he looks like a director, doesn't he? He looks like a director.
I've been looking at that picture, I didn't realise it was him.
Yeah.
Oh, Dexter.
He's wearing a neckerchief, he's got... The kind of the big hair, the glasses, is looks like
he
a director.
Looks like an intellectual and not a punk like he did in Press Gang.
Dennis is on the line. Good evening, Dennis.
Good evening, Ian. Minutes ago, you told that young gentleman you'd been speaking English for the last 17 years.
That's
what
correct.
Were you speaking before that?
I apologise. My English is not so accurate. I checked. I've actually been... I get the numbers wrong. I've been speaking English for the last 15 years. I struggle with the teens. They don't follow a set pattern.
You learned tripe, did you?
I learnt tripe.
Yes.
What is tripe? Is tripe a bloody mess, like black pudding? Black pudding is blood.
No, it's quite clean, actually. It comes out green, because obviously it comes from a cow's stomach, but then they have to bleach it.
It's intestines.
Oh, dear, really?
I got a smack in the mouth over tripe.
Yes.
When I was little.
Why, what happened?
My auntie was serving it up, and like children do, I said what I saw.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, that looks like dog food.
Yeah.
Thwack. Well, it was dog food.
Yeah, we've been eating dog food. Did you know that?
What?
We've been eating dog food. Did you know that?
What?
We've been eating dog food. Did you know that?
No.
Did you know that, Dennis?
No.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with tripe. It's one of the few meats that ulcerated stomachs can eat.
No. Dennis, the further inside you have to reach for a bit, the least likely you're supposed to eat it, right? They put the meaty bits on the outside for easy access. If you have to go into the animal, into the very core of the animal, it means you're not supposed to be eating
Ever eaten a tongue, Dennis?
Yes.
Is it chewy? I bet tongue's really chewy.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's that sorted,
They
then.
Peel it, don't they? It's not got...
You can't peel a tongue.
Yeah, you can.
No, it's hairy.
What?
Who's got a hairy... Let's not go there. Because I have in the past. Deadly dangers... of £1 billion a year food fraud scandal, police warn of toxic vodka, Todka.
No.
And pet food given to humans. Food fraud is costing British families as much as £1.17 billion a year and putting the nation's health and even lives at risk.
Well, hang on, how is it costing us?
But listen to this, right? The authority that's investigated this. The National Food Crime Unit. You're having a laugh.
Well.
The National Food Crime.
No, not after Horsegate.
And how many people were arrested for that? Two. How many people went to prison? None. None. No, Dennis, no one went to prison for Horsegate.
No, well, they've probably been drinking the vodka that came with it.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Dennis, always good to talk to you, mate. Ta-ta.
Listen, make sure you've got that 10 quid for the end of May.
You ain't going to make it, buddy.
I am. I should be there.
Who, listen, when I come to the funeral, who should I see for the money? I don't want to be insensitive.
Don't say that to
No,
Dennis.
I don't want to be insensitive, but when I come to your funeral, Dennis, who do I ask for the 10 quid off of? Because I just make sure I get the right person.
Just light it and throw it in the fire with me.
Thank you very much indeed, Dennis. There we go.
It's a cheery thought.
I just want to make sure I don't... It'll be an emotional time for those people. Emotional time for me, because I'm getting a tenner result. I just want to know who I need to go up to and say, my name's Ian, I believe. Dennis,
well, his wife is Gwyn, so Gwyn would be the one, wouldn't she?
The National Food Crime Unit, the NFCU.
No.
Yeah, yeah. The NFCU, Jimmy, is the Scottish version. Has revealed fraud ranging from lamb takeaways. Oh, yeah, I've had lamb. In a takeaway that you think that's not lamb.
Yeah, but you know that when you...
Yeah, it's tasty. It's tasty. It's good. Like, it's a sauce.
You know some places you go to, a meat roulette.
Manuka honey. No Manuka honey is genuine. I don't believe in Manuka honey.
But it's dear.
Well, yeah, but most Manuka honey is not Manuka honey. Unless you're spending like 60 quid a jar, most of it ain't Manuka.
If I was going to spend 60 quid... on a jar of honey, I want to see it squeezed from the bee with a T-shirt on saying Manuka.
Is it like milking a cow's teat?
No.
Do you squeeze the tail? If I squeezed a bee's tail, would a little honey droplet come out? Could I, if I'd run out of honey at home, right, could I trap a bee?
Honey, I'm home.
Honey, no home, honey. Could I trap a bee and then just squeeze it over my toast ever so slightly?
No.
And then throw it out of the window. I couldn't do that.
I don't think so. I don't think that's the approved method.
You know you can milk cats.
You can.
You can milk anything that's got a nipple.
Nipples. Well, you've got nipples.
I've seen Ryland milk his nipples.
Oh, God.
That is true. This is absolutely true. Ryland Clark milked his nipples for me.
Right.
And milk came out and it was delicious. Huh?
Riley needs to go to the doctor because he's clearly got some sort of infection.
And we spent about...
In the tight tops.
We spent about 40 minutes trying to milk my nipples.
Oh, God.
Couldn't get anything out at all. Felt so... what's the word? Intransigent? No. Felt so inadequate. More alarmingly, the story...
I used to be able to shoot across the room. Seriously.
Steph, let's not even, because, you know...
Well, I've had two children.
Steady.
And sometimes...
Because you know what the answer to that is?
Hmm? No, go in the shower and...
I'll write it down. So did I. More alarmingly, there is evidence of offal... that is supposed to be used as pet food being reclassified for human consumption and fake vodka containing toxic levels of methanol. Okay, so here's some of the Joe and Julia and Katia, stay there.
Do you want me to go and get them?
No, they're there.
Oh,
he's done it. He's the boy's eating his supper and he's done it.
Look at him.
He's good, isn't he? Sometimes.
Yeah.
When you were off, he messed up the adverts in the first break. It was so embarrassing. We had Andy Partridge on. It was so embarrassing. He played two sets of ads at once. It was so embarrassing. Olive oil. Bottled olive oil found in Surrey was inferior vegetable oil adulterated with colourings and
flavour.
Adulterated.
You said vegetable oil.
Oh, yeah. It's inferior vegetable oil adulterated with colourings and flavourings.
Oh, dear. Would people really know, though? People pretend to know. I don't know the difference between extra virgin olive oil and their other stuff.
Here's one. Here's a weird one.
Mm.
Oregano.
Oregano.
19 out of 78 packs of oregano.
Mm.
That's how they say it in America.
Yeah. They also say aluminum.
Well, they don't put the I in. They don't put the second I in. That's why it's aluminum. They're saying it as it's written.
Mm.
Have you heard the Bare Naked Ladies song about that?
Is it called...
Aluminium, aluminium.
Yeah.
But let's go to Joe. Yes, Joe.
Hello, Ian.
Pizzas. Tests. Oh, let me do this. So, oregano.
Yeah, pizzas.
Hang on. 19 out of 78 packs of oregano were bulked up with cheap ingredients such as olive or myrtle leaves. And here we go. Pizzas. Tests on 15 cheese and ham pizzas in Derbyshire found 13 were bogus.
What was the cheese?
8 contained no meat and 5 used turkey. Turkey ham, though. Turkey
ham. Turkey ham is wet. Have you ever eaten turkey ham?
No, mate, I've not.
Oh, it's horrible. I tried it because apparently it's supposed to be healthier. It's got less fat in it and all that stuff. It's got less fat. It's got loads. It feels like it's got loads of water in it. Horrible.
Joe.
Hello, Ian.
What you got for us?
Well, I was going to say welcome back and everything, but I know you don't like people doing that, so I'll just skip over that one. But it is good to hear you on the airwaves.
May God bless you for your kind words, Joseph.
Well, you know, I've got a little thing here which...
don't do yourself down. I'm sure it's perfectly adequate. I'm sure it's brought pleasure to dozens of people.
Not at my age, mate.
Oh. You can get tablets for that now.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got this thing coming up at the weekend where you've got to mess around with all the clocks and everything else.
Oh, yeah, the clocks go back.
Well, being a bit of a rebellious pensioner, or an old-age pench, as I call myself, we're not going to spring forward this year. We've decided to winter back.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way it should be, yes.
So, as I'm busy over the weekend, I thought I'd start tonight, so I've gone around, I've done everything, and it's not quite 5 to 11 at the moment here, and that's how it's going to stay.
Beautiful, you are absolute, and I say this with love and respect, you're nuts. You're flipping nuts.
What it is, when you've worked all your life and you have to say, you know, yes, I'll be there at such and such, and always play everything by the book and all, it's so nice to rebel. And any appointments now, I just say, I'll get there when I can. And that's how it works.
What kind of appointments, as an older man, because I'm getting old, Joe. I'm getting old. What kind of appointments do you have to keep?
Well... because of the old insomnia, mornings are out. So my doctors and my dentist and the hospital, they know now.
Yeah.
So I always get, afternoon, Mr. So-and-so. Yes, please. That's it. And so I just don't do mornings, really.
Yeah. doing this job, right, I'm getting home about 2:30 in the morning, right?
All right, yeah.
Yeah, and I get home and I'm still a little bit buzzy, so I read for 30 minutes and it lights out at 3:00. But then I had my boys coming in at 6:30 this morning, and
no respect
for the dead at all,
as I
wished I was. But they came in and they made a little Easter basket, and it was full of.
Oh, that's nice.
It was nice, and it had chocolate in it. But then they said we made this for you, Daddy. Can we have the chocolate? I went, yeah, go on, yeah. Of course you can. Joe, listen, thank you for that. It's a good reminder, actually, guys. The clocks go back an hour at the weekend. Don't forget. Julia's on the line. Yes, Julia?
Hello.
Hello, Julia.
Hello there. My boyfriend's listening to you on a bus, and it's a sleepy bus, so he can't talk. So you've got two options.
Yes.
We can either talk about him, and he can't talk back, or we could sing him a nice lullaby.
Now, hang on a minute. Are you having trouble? Is it muffled in your ears, or are you hearing well? Because I'm...
A little.
Could you hear what Julia said?
Her boyfriend's...
Shall I talk like this?
No, you do. I tell you, it's not you, Julia, and I'm not making a cheap gag about your accent. It's just there's something with these headphones, or this my side of the desk, where some of the phone calls... That was a good noise. Some of the phone calls are a little bit muffled in my ears. So,
I'll tell you what I picked out.
Yes, Catherine, go.
Julia's boyfriend's on a bus.
A
sleepy bus, and he can't speak.
I don't know what a sleepy bus is.
Well, where you're not allowed
to... The bus you sleep on. What? Bunk beds on a bus. Oh. Like in Harry Potter, but in
Hang
reality.
On. Is your son...
Boyfriend.
Roid. Who is it? Is he a rock singer? Is he a rock singer?
No. He's a podcaster extraordinaire.
Oh. So I'm not getting much of this, and it's entirely the fault of the technology, Catherine.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could talk about you as well.
Huh? You're gonna have to
right.
Talk.
He's not a rock star; he's a podcaster.
Right. Okay. Oh, okay. Fair
right.
play.
And he's on the sleeper bus.
Where's he going? Why is he not? Why is he not making love
let's
to
ask
you?
Her. Why is he not?
He's on his way to make love to me.
Yes.
You heard that one.
Get in there. I don't mean it like that. Well, I do, I suppose. What time is he? What time
That's
is
literally
he?
Literally, what you mean?
What time is he coming to your house?
He should arrive in Glasgow at 7 a.m.
Oh, flipping heck!
Oh,
he'll be knackered.
No, he won't. He's had a lovely sleep.
Yeah, that's true.
He's had what? Two night nurse.
Why?
Oh. Well, what do you want to say about him?
I want you to sing him a nice lullaby.
Oh, flipping heck.
What can we sing him?
Hang on a minute. I've got something we can sing. Is my computer on, Ed? Because I'm going to...
How nice, though, to have the anticipation of knowing that he's on his way back to you.
We've not got my loving arms.
We've not got long. Hang on a second. Let me just try this. Here we go. Here we go. This should work. Let's see if we can do this. Here we go.
It's exciting.
I'm so gripped.
Is it on? Okay, maybe it's a build-up. There'll be a build-up. Okay, here we go. You ready? Here we go.
He's drifted. Ah!
Hang on.
Right.
There we go. I don't know this bit. I don't know this bit of the song. Hang
what
on.
Is it?
Hang on. Here we go. Here we go. China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your mind starts ticking. Watching X-Files with the lights on. We're down the maze on. I hope the smoking man's in this one. Like Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic. Like Stick, I'm tantric. Like Stick is guaranteed to satisfy. Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. Okay, I don't make films. But if I did, then have a samurai.
Then it gets really difficult.
Then I can't do that. Oh. Does that?
Can I help it if you make it funny when I'm mad? Try hard not to smile, though it feels bad. I'm the kind of guy that laughs at a funeral.
Don't understand what I mean. You soon will.
Yes, Julia! I hope that was adequate for him, Julia. I have no idea why we ended up doing that, but there you go. Katia, stay there, please. Is that okay?
Yes.
Oh, dearie, dearie me. She doesn't sound very happy, does she?
Talk Radio.
Evening, everybody. OK, for the last hour of the show, we'll take calls straight to it. I'd try and summarise what we've spoken about. I honestly can't remember. Katia, can you remember?
No, because...
OK, so if you want to give us a call... Sorry, Katia, that was rude of me. Go on.
No.
Yeah, we'll take calls straight to it. 0844 499 1000. Wait for the news. Sit back and listen to the news, and then we'll talk more then. Here we go. Here's the news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio. Ian Lee, on air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio. We have ways of making you talk.
Evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Captain Boyle is here.
What's up?
Ed is over there.
Hello.
There we go. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we are match weight, fighting fit, ready to go. We'll take your call straight to air, 0844 499 1000. But before that, Katia has been waiting, haven't you, Katia?
Of course.
And we'll come to you after Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah?
How are you?
I'm a little bit scared, if I'm honest.
Why are you scared?
Because it for no reason.
You've got a mysterious voice.
I don't understand why you're so scared of my voice.
Could you say, come here, my precious? Could you do that?
You make me cry every time I ring now. The reason I rang was actually to apologise. What did you want me to say?
Come here, my precious.
Come here, my precious.
There we go.
Okay. You're not trying to say I sound like Gollum, are you?
Yes, I am. What would you like to apologise for, Chris?
Hanging up the other night. I felt quite guilty about it. I just got a bit overcome.
Oh, yeah, she was
cooking.
Upset.
Was she cooking?
No, different one.
Okay, I don't remember.
That was Missy that was
falling down
cooking.
The well.
Oh, you fell down the well. Hello. She's fallen down the well.
She's upset
there,
again. So. She's overcome.
I've got no idea what's going on, Katia.
Yeah.
So there's a single Magnum bottle of Burgundy wine was offered for sale at £50,000 last August. It was fake. Well, serves you right. If you're going to spend that much money on booze, serves you right.
That's just buying it to show off.
Isn't it, though?
Mm.
That's just stupid. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Katia, yes, please, get to the point. You're blocking up the phone lines.
Let's play Guess the Presenter.
Okay, is it Steve Allen?
No, I have to give you some clues.
Is it Steve Allen?
Is it a talk radio presenter?
No, I'm giving the clues.
No, but I tell you why, because it would be helpful to promote one of the excellent presenters that's on here.
Yes, it's true. John Holmes is really good.
He's excellent.
John Holmes is excellent, yes.
So are
some of the others.
No.
You're going to dismiss... Are you going to dismiss all of my colleagues?
Sam Delaney, he's good.
Sam Delaney is really up and coming.
He's got a very Cockney voice, hasn't he?
I'm Sam Delaney. And here's the thing, right? I came in on my scooter, right? And I was driving in, and it made me think, what do you like eating? I like eating sausages. And I love nothing more than a sausage sandwich and then firing off a shooter.
The thing is about your man Delaney, right? He sounds like he's from...
Sam Delaney.
What did I call him?
Your man Delaney.
Right. Well, that's because I'm being street. The thing is about Sam Delaney, your man Delaney, is he sounds lock stock.
I had a friend who had a man Delaney. It was an amazing sound, but I could never play it.
He sounds lock stock and two smoking barrels, but he's actually a thinking man.
He's a thinking man's bit of crumpet.
Okay, first clue.
Yeah, we're still playing this.
Is it Steve Allen?
Okay.
Has he got a spike?
No.
I know exactly where I'd shove Steve Allen's 4 a.m. spike.
Okay, sentence number one. Let's start the show again.
What?
That's tense that they are. Sentence number two. Oh, I've got itchy ears. Oh. Number three.
Oh, she's doing it. Okay, carry on, Katia. This is funny.
Scratchy beard. Oh,
yeah.
This is funny. Yeah.
I think it might be me.
Yeah. Here's another one, they say. You're barred, Katia. There we go. You see? That's you know, that's how you do it.
Give us a scratchy beard, though.
Got a full beard now. I'm loving it. It turns out I was meant to have a beard my whole life. Not when I was a baby. That'd be weird. But I'm like Noel Edmonds. I'm meant to have a beard. And I look at a picture of me now without a beard. I think, oh, that looks weird. A bit of wood's going to fall on me.
Naked face. You know who had a beard when she was born?
Katie Hopkins.
No.
And she's got one now.
No.
Oh.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
She had this condition where she was covered in a downy, dark hair.
Yeah, it's common.
Yeah, what's it called? Tracker. Hairiness.
Yes.
She had that.
And some people are born with tails. And that is a fact. That is a medical fact.
I did see a boy once on a documentary on YouTube that could waggle his tail.
That wasn't the tail. Didn't Nicolas Cage, didn't he have a tail?
What?
I'm sure... I have 0844-499-1000. I am convinced that Nicolas Cage, star of Con Air and Raising Arizona, I'm sure he famously had a tail when he was a baby. I'm sure of it.
Which brings us back to that phone-in we haven't done yet.
Yeah, go on.
Good wigs.
Oh, yeah. There's no such thing as a good wig.
Well, his was all right.
No, because you can tell it's a wig. There's no one has ever had, like one you're on the wireless.
Boy.
A good wig.
Well, women do. Sophia Loren has worn wig after
wig. Women's wigs don't count. Because
they're outlandish.
They're outlandish. Barbara Windsor wears a wig.
Dolly Parton famously.
So women's wigs are different. I've never seen a man's wig.
Tony Curtis. He had that pompadour, didn't
Tony he? Tony Bennett. Well, I've been in the same room as Tony Bennett. That's right. I sat around a table with Tony Bennett. He was being interviewed for Loose Ends on Radio 4. And I think he was the first one to be interviewed, right? And it was Ned Sheeran, and Ned Sheeran was interviewing him. And he finished the interview. And then Tony Bennett, it was another 40 minutes to go. He sat back in his chair, put his hands on his chest and fell asleep for the rest of the show. What a legend.
Well, he's Tony Bennett.
Bennett. I think leaving his heart actually in San Francisco means he can only be active for a few minutes at a time before having to
standby.
Goes into standby mode. His thing. Frankie Howard, a terrible wig. Bruce Forsyth, terrible wig. Paul Daniels, may God rest his soul. I remember when he came out as being bald. It was a big thing. That one minute he had, and as a kid, I was only a kid, and I didn't understand it. But he had lots of hair, and then suddenly he had no hair. Mm. I was like, what happened there? Wait, my dad went, it's a wig, isn't it? It's a syrup. Yes, line two, you're on the air.
Hello, the fellow who's on tomorrow write the book, what's his name again?
Matt Haig.
Just want to give him a bit of a prompt, because he's a fellow writer like myself. I'm writing a book as we speak.
Are you really, Rob?
So, basically, about a year ago...
He's had about a dozen books published, and has won awards and stuff like that. And you say you want to give him, what, a prompt, did you say?
A little prompt, because he's a fellow writer like myself.
Okay.
So, basically, about a year ago, all the books got really rude.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yep.
The love stories just disappeared. So, actually, I've got a couple of pages. Can I read a bit?
Well, yeah, please do. I look forward to hearing it, Rob, as I hover over the dump button.
So, this is about a lady called Castasia Boyle, OK? And she falls in love. So she goes to a party, and there he is, the man of her dreams, Christian Bernay. She saw the back of his strawberry locks and looked down and
Ginger.
Said, my goodness, his arse is like two snooker balls. She'd not felt like this since Stephen Dennis did that Don't It Make You Feel Good video. Her heart approaching, she knew her first words were very important. This was it. She approached him, looked deep into his eyes. She opened her mouth and said, hey, love, I do knitting. Wanna come round and do Rita Sue Bob 2 and chill? She nailed it, and she knew she had. On the way, we can get some duct tape. Christian smiled and said, that's lovely. So that's kind of the vibe of the book. What are you thinking?
I think it's very erotic.
Yeah, I think we go. So I'll call in tomorrow and give me some prompts or something,
well,
maybe.
I'm thinking, you know, when we get back to do the knitting and chilling, I might drop a stitch.
To sue and Bob to and chill. Having a gangbang. So, thank you, Rob. Ta-ta. Have you seen that film?
Yes,
I saw it
covertly when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And I found it quite disturbing because they just look like mums and dads.
It's quite an unpleasant... I seem to remember, it's all a bit of fun, then it gets a bit
nasty.
Dark,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Is it Johnny Briggs' dad?
No. What was he in? Apart from...
Line 6, you're on the wireless. It's a Vinnie soundboard. One more?
But seriously, what do I think about stem cell research?
Thank you very much indeed. I mean, isn't it funny? That was like 11 years ago. I don't think I've got those clips on my computer anymore because I lost a load of stuff. I wonder if that person
nicked them.
Yeah, maybe. Isn't it funny the things that people... that might be rude.
You know why? Because in many ways, you're the soundtrack to their lives.
Here we go.
Go on.
I've got some of these. Hang on. Oh. Why is the computer... Here we go. Why is it not playing? We plugged in, Ed. Is the computer plugged in? Hello?
I'll have to bust the crap out of him one day.
There we go.
Wow.
Who the hell is Ben Jones?
Yeah, here we go.
Ian Lee's an idiot.
Yeah, turns out I've got them all on here.
Can this show get any worse?
What's this one? Last one. It's a joke for me.
But seriously, what do you think about stem cell research?
Here we go. Funny the things that people latch onto, isn't it? And remember. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. I don't know why men go for wigs anymore. I don't know why you would do it, really.
Well, you're lucky in that you've got a full head of hair and it's
that ain't
not
going nowhere.
Exactly.
I ain't going nowhere.
But I know men, young men, and it's really upsetting when they start to lose their hair.
My mate Simon went bald at 21.
Gosh.
But he was all right with it. He's got a very round head. He looks like a potato.
He's got a cheeky face.
He has got a cheeky face. But I
know men who were really upset about it. I know men who spent a fortune on like lotions and potions trying to keep
it. We both know someone who was going bald and came in one day with a very thick head of hair. Mm. Almost as if it had come out of a can
but
or something.
You know what? I wouldn't blame them.
Yeah. I do a little bit. I just think accept it. Wigs are like the very first form of plastic surgery.
Well, is it because you forgive men less for being vain, the perception of vanity. Because, you know, you expect women to try... Women desperately trying to keep up, don't they, with the younger generation, whereas men are supposed to just let it all go.
Yeah. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Ian?
Yes?
Oh, hello, Ian. It's Peter again. Peter from Gillingham. I spoke to you yesterday about
my rule. You're the rule plugs collector, yes, sir?
Yeah. Well, I know you weren't interested in them. I thought I'd call you about another collection I thought you might like.
Yes, go on. Yeah, definitely.
I have got probably the most comprehensive collection of genuine 1960s Ivor the Engine memorabilia.
Here's a thing, right? When I was a kid, there were cartoons that were so dull that you wanted to actually die. And they were all... there was Ivor the Engine and Noggin the Nog.
Although the engine noise was good.
Yeah, but it was just such a depressing... It was so... It was so slow.
There was also a drawing, wasn't it?
There was
it,
also
really?
The Perishers. God, that was boring. Wasn't it, Pete?
But Ivor the Engine, he was a classic.
Yeah, he was a classic bore.
I've even got genuine Bakelite models.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Are you ever going to finish?
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000. Taking calls straight to air. Line 6, you're on the wireless.
Ian.
Yes?
I wonder what Ivor the Engine thinks of HS2.
Hey, there we go. That's not, was the train sentient?
Yes.
It could think, could it?
Yes. And it was driven by Jones the Steam.
It would not...
He'd get very quiet. He'd get very slow, though, wouldn't he? And the idea of it, he gets you from Birmingham to London quicker. And why on earth anyone would want to get to London quicker is beyond me.
Hey, well done for turning that on its head. I worked in Birmingham for ages. I love Birmingham, and I'm going, would you go Birmingham quicker? Because it's wicked, actually. Apart from, I never got the you know the bulls, the brass bulls outside the bull ring, right? They were voted as it being in the top 10 of monuments or, like, tourist attractions around the world.
Really?
Yeah.
I know, but there's not a lot else, really, is there? I don't know what it's all about, to be honest. People have the photographs taken out of it, and I'm thinking, it's just a brass ball, isn't it?
It's just a brass ball. I don't get... But it's up there with, like, the Leaning Tower of Pisa and the Empire State Building and the brass bull at the Bullring Shopping Centre in Birmingham.
Not the Angel of the North,
No!
No. It's not made of brass, is it?
No, I don't know.
He's got a good...
I've got another question for you, which is a little bit topical at this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Now, get your thinking caps on, because, right...
Yes, sir.
Noah made his ark of wood.
Yeah.
And he took two of every animal, didn't he?
Yeah.
So where did he keep the woodpeckers?
Oh.
Where did he keep the woodworm?
See?
Where did he put the dinosaurs?
It's as if it's not a literal story.
They didn't have dinosaurs then, though, did they?
Well, they didn't have Noah then. What with him not existing and stuff? Here's the thing about Noah. He lived to about the age of 800. He had it off with his daughter.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. They don't tell you that part of the story. Later on, it was either...
Adam Johnson's gone to jail for the same sort of thing.
Not quite
the same sort of thing. He's gone to jail for a bit of something very, very naughty.
That is a point, though. If they were the only people left on the planet...
It was either his daughter or his daughter-in-law. Or his son. Noah, we're talking about. No, seriously.
No, I'm saying it would be his son, wouldn't it?
Loads of people have been saying, you know, that Adam Johnson, he's the footballer that had sex with the 15-year-old girl, the child. Yeah.
Well, he committed certain acts.
Okay, all right. I don't think we can particularly libel him that much, can we? He's gone to prison for grooming and engaging in sexual activity with a child, right? And there are loads of idiots out there, right, saying, well, you shouldn't go to prison. It's only a bit of fun. She's to blame. She's a slag. There's people actually saying that, right? Including people that get paid to express their opinions. You know who I'm talking about, that woman, right? He used his position as a multi-millionaire football star. I never heard of him. I don't like football. To groom a child so that she would have it away with him. How is it her fault?
The beginning and the end of the argument is he's the grown-up.
He's the grown-up, she's the kid, whatever she looks like.
And whatever she says.
Yeah. And is it right, he Googled what's the age of consent?
Yeah, but he said that was about a different conversation he was having with his international colleagues about the varying ages of consent across the world.
How could a grown-up not know what well, in Spain it was 13 until very recently.
Yeah, I know.
Very recently. Mm. But still, all these people going, well, he's gone to prison for 6 years. He's gone for 6 years. He'll do two. I blame the mum. I blame the mum, people are saying, for crying out loud. For crying out loud. Even if that girl, right, and let's go hypothetical, even if she was, like, all over him, she was a kid. She was a kid, and he should have gone, I'm really flattered, but you're too young. Thanks very much. Good luck. Best luck with this. Here's a signed picture. Best luck with the rest of your life. Ta-ta. Oh, you shouldn't have gone to prison. She's to blame, and so's the mum. Grow up, you idiots. Oh, it makes me sick. Line one, you're on the wireless.
This is the theme to Gary's show. The opening theme to Gary's show. This is the music that you hear as you watch the credits. We're almost to the part where I start to whistle. Then we'll watch his Gary Shandling show. Rest in peace, man.
Rest in peace, man. You didn't do the whistle. The whistle is, okie dokie, okie dokie. I found a little back door in Phonebox that's going to allow us to put on as many phone calls as I want.
Oh, have you? What did you press?
I found the conference feature, ladies and gentlemen, where you can put... It's not perfect.
Well, let's see if it works.
It's not perfect. We won't do it now, but you can put 6 calls on one line, 6 calls on another. We've got Lan Arche is on its way. Speaking of collecting, right? So page 8 of the Mirror is my favourite page of the newspaper. It's when they haven't got anything else to print. They make up, they just Google stuff.
I quite like the Mirror.
I like the Mirror.
It's a bit fun.
That's because you're a liberal lefty. You're MSM. Mainstream media. You're part of the problem.
Hang on. Liberal lefty. Thank you. That's what I'm going to say. Thank you.
So it's got bizarre hordes of madcap collectors.
Right.
Was that your stomach?
No.
This is after Peter Barnard, who was on the show just a few minutes ago.
Yes. His wife, Janie, who is a retired speech therapist.
And he talks like that. It's to do with rule plugs, right? So pick a number between 8.
Between 8?
Well, 1 and 8, obviously.
3.
Okay. Darlene Flynn was known as the Queen of Soul.
Right.
Or the less poetic, Shoe Lady. Thanks to her world record collection of, guess how many shoes she had. Now, I'm assuming this is shoes and not pairs of shoes. So how many shoes did she have?
Well, because it's an odd number.
No, it's an even number.
I think she probably had 2,828.
16,400 shoes.
Me?
Her treasured footwear was estimated to be worth about £350,000.
No, she'd been wearing them.
And 58-year-old Darlene even persuaded her 29-year-old lover, Justin Smith, to prepare her.
You can't have a lover called Justin.
What? Well, I miss him. What did she
My
get?
Lover.
What did she get her young lover, Justin Smith, to prepare for her? Now, she's a fan of shoes. She got him to prepare something for her.
Oh, would it be like a foot spa?
No.
Would it be... what did she prepare? Did he wear them in for her?
Shoe-shaped breakfast. You twit.
Justin.
But the path of true love did not always run smoothly, with Smith admitting they sometimes argued over her vast hoard. Oh, God's sake. I should have read this before I started this. Stop laughing.
Oh. Oh, no.
In 2013, Darlene was found dead in her swimming pool after being battered with a baseball bat, and Smith was charged with her murder. Then they've put a joke at the end.
Wow, that escalated, didn't it? It was a bit of fun, and then...
They've put a joke at the end, right? After the killing, detectives had spotted him hidden in a garage, surrounded by shoeboxes. You would want to get buried in, like, a shoebox coffin, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Pick another number between 0844 499 1000, by the way.
I want something a bit less grisly, yeah. So I think 3 was unlucky for me. I'm going to go even number this time.
Yep, yep.
8.
OK. There we go. A bit of fun. Miley Cyrus fan Carl McCoyd took his obsession to extremes and has murdered Miley's... No. And now has 29 tattoos dedicated to the singer all over his body.
Oh.
He even named one of his children Miley in tribute. That's not a tribute. But his tattoo collection hasn't... Good on her. I like Miley Cyrus. Hannah Montana, isn't it? Mm. His tattoo collection hasn't impressed Miley, who has blocked him on Twitter. And he's been branded a stalker in the US.
I mean, I can see why.
Now even Carl, 42, from Bridlington, East Yorks, thinks the tattoos were a bad idea and plans to get them removed in the hope of finding himself a girlfriend.
Wow.
I think the reason she blocked him, right? They've got the tattoo down the right side of his body of her face, right? At least, I think it's a face, or it's a crying skeleton. What the hell is that?
That looks like, oh, wow.
That is terrifying. It looks like Lamal.
I thought it looks like, is it Justin Hayward?
From the Moody Blues. It looks like a black man.
Well, it looks like anything other than Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. I like Miley Cyrus.
She looks like a very young Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, she does. And
there's nowt wrong with that.
There's nowt wrong with that at all. There's nowt wrong with that. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You're more than welcome to. You can tweet us at Ian Lee as well. And we'll take more of your calls after this.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening! Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. I suspect everyone's asleep now. Is there a way? Because we're people are mainly listening online. Mm-hmm. We should be able to monitor exactly how many people are listening to us. And if it dips below, there's an old adage in the theatre. If there are more people on stage than there are off stage, you can cancel the show. Go on, you can yawn. You can yawn. I'm boring the whole country. I'm boring you. And there are three of us here, me, you and Ed. If there are less than three people listening, we can go home early, I think.
Okay.
I think that's the rule. I hope so, because I'm starting to get a banging headache. Go on, let's do one more of these and we'll do something. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Go on.
All right. Number 5.
Oh.
No?
Number
6. Yes?
Number... Someone is... Stop people getting
2.
Killed.
2.
Okay, this looks like fun. Langley Collier started... Oh, for crying out loud. All right, I'm going to read it. They're all about people dying.
No.
Langley Collier started to collect newspapers so that if his blind brother Homer ever regained his sight, he'd be able to read them all.
Oh.
No, that's nuts.
I know, but it's hope, isn't it? That's optimism.
Well, just buy a book.
But also giving your brother a lot to do.
Yeah. Why would he want to read... Oh, who wants yesterday's papers? Nobody in the world. I'm quoting the Rolling Stones there. He even fed his brother... Oh, this guy's bonkers. It happened a long time ago, so we can laugh about it. He even fed his brother 100 oranges a week in the hope that the vitamin C would help restore his vision. But his well-meaning gesture turned to tragedy as the mountains of paper engulfed their New York home and the brothers became trapped. In 1947, the authorities received a tip-off that someone had died at the property. What? They had to move mounds of paper, telephone books and boxes to gain access and found Homer's body. It was 3 weeks before Langley's body was found, just feet away, buried under tons of debris. Line 1, you're on the wireless. Oh, he's gone. Oh, he's gone. Okay.
Debris.
Oh, I know. I'm tired and I'm... We went out for some food before the show to plan the show, and you can see it was worth it. I would say the lady in that restaurant was rude.
No.
Yes?
No.
We went in there. We said, can we get a table for two, please? And it was busy, right? And she said, are you going to the theatre? We're near some theatres. We went, no. She went, oh. Well, we're very busy. We're a very popular restaurant.
I, I don't think she was rude. I think she was Italian.
Oh, that's racism.
No, I'm not being
that
racist.
That is racism.
I'm just saying that there is a delivery.
That's racism.
No, they're very blunt, and she wouldn't have meant it rudely. She said some nice things to me, and she said them in slightly aggressive manner.
Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello, Ian. It's Happy Tree here.
Hello, Happy Tree.
How are you doing? I heard your plaintive call for callers, and I couldn't resist. Although, actually, what I couldn't resist was your grammatical error, I'm afraid. You said, if there are less than three people listening, and I went, oh, fewer. But never mind.
I'm going to... Where are you, Estonia?
Yes.
Right, how long would it take me to get there? How long would it take me to get to Estonia from here, now?
3 days.
Right. Well, you've got 3 days to hide, buddy, because I'm going to come there and I'm going to batter your ears. Why is...
I don't understand.
I know it's meant to be fewer, but I don't... Less than is still... Why is that incorrect?
Because it's to do with countable and uncountable nouns. If you really want to know, but you probably don't.
I don't, actually.
Ten
know.
Items or fewer.
No.
Yeah. 10 items or fewer, and lots of shops say 10 items or less.
But you know what it means, yeah?
I know.
Right, deal with it. You deal with it. You've got...
Do you know what it means? It means I know more than they do.
It means you two should run off and get married... And never talk to me again, because you guys have obviously got something wrong with you.
No, it's just that we understand what language is, and you only just use it like a common criminal.
A criminal?
A common criminal. anyway, to change the subject abruptly, you come from Slough, don't you?
Sorry?
You come from Slough.
I was Slough. I was
Slough.
Originally born in Slough, yeah.
Slough. I used to live in Slough.
How are you doing that voice? Yes.
Because I thought that's the only way you would understand me. Yes, when I was 8 to 10 years old, we lived in Slough.
Whereabouts do you live in Slough?
Mulberry Drive. I don't know if you know that.
I do know it. Well, I do know that, but I can't picture where it is.
It's near Ditton Park.
It's near which park?
Ditton.
Ditton Park. I don't know where that is. No, actually, I've got no idea where Ditton Park is.
Where Ditton Park is? You're not from Slough.
Ditton Park is not exactly Upton Park.
Well, it's Downton Park.
Salt Hill Park.
I don't know exactly where it is. It's near the... I think it's south of the big road. Is it London Road it's called?
Oh, you're just talking nonsense. Get to the point now.
He was eight. Give him a break.
Have you ever heard of Castleview School?
No, doesn't exist.
No, you're not from Slough. Sorry, mate.
He's literally making places up. Line, why won't my, I've got to do that. Line two, you're on the, there you go. Line two, you're on the wireless. Hello? Oh, we're having trouble with that. Let's try there. Hello? Can you hear me, line two? No, I can't. That's not work for some reason. Okay. That's fine. So, we're talking about wigs, right? There's a woman. I don't get dreadlocks.
Oh, I do.
Oh, it's dirty hair.
No.
It cleans itself. No, it doesn't. Hair can't clean itself. Although they've made clothes that clean themselves. Did you see this? They've made clothes that if you shine light on it, it cleans itself.
What? Shine light rather than spreading water
yeah.
on it?
Yeah. Well, you don't clean all clothes with water.
I do.
Well, you're wrong. You wouldn't clean my suit with water. You would dry clean it. Well, then you'd be in trouble. I need to get some new suits. But... There are things you dry clean, okay?
Well...
How do they do that? Chemicals.
Yeah.
They've made clothes where if you just get light on it, it cleans itself. How cool is that? Anyway, there's this woman, right? She's got... The Mirror have called her the Rasta Rapunzel.
Oh.
Yeah. She's a Rastafarian and she's got long locks, literal locks, dreadlocks, dreadlock holiday. They're 55 foot long. How is that possible? Hair stops growing after a while, doesn't it?
But there'll be extensions, won't they? There'll be extensions.
No, they won't. No.
Yes. Sometimes they do sew extensions in.
A woman? They. Sometimes they do sew extensions
in. No, I'm saying hairdressers.
Sometimes they sew extensions in. You really, really, I pity your children.
I do, but for different reasons.
A woman with 55-foot-long dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks?
Dreadlocks. Met... oh, man. met her hairdresser... By the way, 0844 499 1000. Met her hairdresser hubby. No one says hubby.
No, annoying people do.
Actually, I've met people and they say, oh, hubby's gone out. Oof. Yeah, I bet he's going to have to get away from you, you Fruit Loop.
Does he call her wifey? Oof.
No, it's Wi-Fi, it's pronounced. after he saw her record-breaking tresses, made-up word, online.
No, tresses is real.
Yeah, but it's no one ever says tresses. Oh, nice tresses.
They say it in books, don't they?
The stresses on the tresses means that he undresses. Asha Mandela, locks, are longer than a double-decker bus and weigh 3 stone. It takes her husband, Emmanuel Chege, 2 days to wash and dry them. I didn't think you washed dreads.
Yes.
Sorry?
That's what I'm saying to you, yes.
Then why do the white dreads not wash?
Well, I think that's more to do with the whole look that they're going for is one of blatant disregard for washing.
This is all real hair.
What?
Emmanuel Con... here we go. Known as the Rasta Rapunzel, Asha, 53, holds the Guinness World Record for being the stupidest woman alive... and for having the longest dreadlocks. But doctors have warned her their weight could leave her paralysed.
Gosh.
Emmanuel contacted Asha, who runs a hair product business. Oh, here we go.
Yep.
3 years ago, after seeing her photo on hairdressing websites. There's someone there. Hello, line one. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Hello? John's right. Tim? Hello, Andy. Andre, my name is. Do you know who it is? Andre Baston. Did you get me photo? Ask Eloise if you saw my picture of me. Oh, who's this?
Oh, that's made me sad. He used to call in a long time ago. And I never know what happened to him. And people often say to this day, what happened to Andre from Basildon? So I don't know. I hope he got sober, is all I can say. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hiya, Ian.
Hiya.
Hi. Hi, it's Louise from Barnsley. I haven't spoken to you for like ages.
Oh, it's Barnsworth. Anyway, blimey, they're all coming out. They're all coming out of the woodwork. I've not spoken to you for about 8 years.
I know, I've been listening to you. I work now, though, you know, so I've got to be up at stupid o'clock, so I don't often get to listen to you at night. It's only because I'm off tomorrow.
Hang on a minute. I've only been on for 4 nights, so... And me and Kath are flagging. We've both got tired... We can't hide our tired eyes.
Oh. Well, I'm used to it. I'm used to being tired all the time. I don't sleep at night, and that's not going
to
help.
That's no way to live a life. You're a thrusting young woman... you should be able to sleep and not feel tired. I always feel tired, and I think that's because of kids. I think kids ruin your life.
Yeah, I don't have that problem yet.
The kid thing overlapped with the breakfast thing for me, so it was like a double whammy, and I don't know, you know, it's like chicken and egg, both of them leading to tiredness.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, what you got for us, Barnsworth?
So, you know, you were talking about wigs. How do you feel about hair extensions? Because to me, they're the same thing.
Yeah, not the last haircut I had, the one before. I was talking to my hairdresser and I said, oh, your hair looks nice. She goes, yeah, these are hair extensions. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't notice it. But then when she showed it to me, you can see it.
Sewn in.
And then she said, you see the fella over there? I think his name's Kevin, right? Who works there. Nice lad. I said, yeah. She said, that's hair extensions. And it wasn't even that long. And I said, and I looked, and you can see the little clips they used to clip it in. Mm. I think it's cheating.
I quite like them, though. Because if you can't grow your own hair for whatever reason, at least you can feel like you've got some hair.
But you have to grow your own hair to a certain extent to get the hair extensions in.
Yeah, but my hair's quite short, and I had hair extensions put in when I had it cut quite short. And I thought it looked better than putting on a wig.
But don't you feel that it's not your... Because it doesn't feel like your hair. Everyone's hair is a unique thing, right? My hair does not feel the same as Kath's hair, won't feel the same as Ed's hair, won't feel the same as yours. And if I had hair brushing my neck, or if I was wearing a low-cut top brushing my shoulders and the top of my back, that wasn't my hair... I would feel uncomfortable with that.
You haven't got any feeling in your hair. You wouldn't know.
No, I'd feel it on the skin, you idiot. I nearly swore at you then, you're being so dumb.
My hair feels weird. I got used to it, and to be honest with you, because I didn't like my hair being short. It was my own stupid fault for having it cut short anyway.
Yeah.
It made me feel better about myself. And I don't think I could do with a whole week.
I don't
it
like this.
It's so annoying.
I don't like this thing about people having plastic surgery to feel better about themselves.
Well, I think if it helps you, why not? My friend had...
Deal with it.
Lady lumps done, so it made her feel better about herself.
Lady bumps. Can I just... Yeah. 1 second.
Does she mean a boob job?
She means her bosoms.
Okay. Well, no, I don't think it's... Yeah. I don't buy this. Listen, if you've been... And we're going to go to a break in a second. If you've been, like, physically scarred or something, have some plastic surgery. Go on. You might as well. But just because... Oh, I've got really small boobs. Don't make me happy. Oh, my bum. You get your bum implanted now, don't you?
You get your pump right up.
Yeah! I don't... Go and see a therapist.
Yeah, but she couldn't even do things with a boyfriend because she was that embarrassed, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, in that case... But I've got to go. Thank you very much.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Bed, and then there's dumping the bed. Hang on a second. Time for some spooky music. Last 15 minutes of the show, guys. 0844 499 1000. Call straight to air. There's not a lot of news around at the moment, right? Apart from, you know, Brussels. And everyone's already bored. Even the papers are bored of the EU out or EU in referendum talk. We've got like another 18 months of that before the election, I think. Before the vote. Right. And they kind of peaked too early with that. Is anyone really interested in that? I don't think so. So there's a lot of rubbish in the papers. There's the grisly account of what happened in Brussels the other day. And then there's a lot of rubbish in the papers. And they've made a story up in the Mail, which I love. I love these things, but it's made up, right? Is this proof that love never dies? Your extraordinary and tender stories of encounters with lost loved ones that will touch even sceptics. I'm a sceptic. It won't touch me. Is this proof that love never dies, right? I've not read the article. I'm guessing it's not proof. I'm kind of guessing it's not what you would call proof. And they've highlighted it with a picture of Demi Moore. What happened to Demi Moore? Is she still alive? Did she die? Is she alive, Ed?
Still alive.
Is she still making hot movies?
I don't know.
Okay. I got a picture of Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, who unfortunately did die, from the motion picture Ghost. So that shows how seriously they're taking it, right? We never forget our loved ones once they've passed away. Flippin' heck. I mean, that's a start to a story, isn't it? But some of us are left with more than just our memories. Recently... The Mail reported, right? And here's the interesting thing. This story doesn't have a name by it. Almost as if the person who wrote it is too embarrassed to put their flipping name by it. Recently, the Mail reported how a study had found that as many as 6 in 10 people who have lost a partner will continue to see, hear or sense them in some way. Researchers said that these so-called hallucinatory experiences... Well, hang on, hallucinations. So-called, they're hallucinations. For example, seeing a loved one in their old chair or hearing them call your name were far more common than we might think, but many bereaved people are reluctant to report them. Dozens of you responded to say that you had indeed had contact with partners...
I've just seen where this is going.
Dozens of you responded to say that you had indeed had contact with partners, friends, and even pets after death. But you did not always agree that cold science could explain away such experiences. Now, I've not read these, so there might be some sad stories. We've found when I kind of pick stuff that I've not read, it tends to involve something quite horrific. Okay. Oh. This is going to be a sad one. Bear in mind that the Mail is asking, is this proof that love never dies? Okay. This is from Granny to Two Twins. Well, there would be two. And it's headed, Grandpa Couldn't Miss Christmas. This is sad, okay, right. My father died when my granddaughter was 2.5. On our first Christmas without him, we were all in the kitchen at my daughter's house when my granddaughter came running into the room saying, "Grandpa's here, Grandpa's here." She grabbed me by the hand, took me into the empty sitting room and pointed at the sofa saying, "Look, here he is." She could see him and was so happy. It made a difficult day much easier. She was too young to be pretending. What? She was too young to be pretending. She was 2½. That's all they do is pretend. That's all, line one, that's all that 2½-year-olds do is pretend. Line one?
Line one? Line one? Me?
Yes, you?
Sorry, I was just ringing in to say that you're getting towards the end of the show, mate. It's getting a bit quiet. It's getting a bit, you know, it's kind of failing, I think. And I think it's due to hubris, mate. What you're failing to do is address the serious concerns of the people of Buckinghamshire about Milton Keynes car parking.
Uh-oh, go on. What, tell me why, and you could be onto something here, and I appreciate your input. It's day four, and I want to get this right. I should be talking more about the 10 pence increase in the parking at Milton Keynes.
Absolutely, you really should. And also, you've got to understand that there's a sort of a two-tier system in Milton Keynes, so that 10 pence is sort of magnified tenfold. It's almost like a kind of what the people of Milton Keynes...
I just come from a job where I actually had to do this story, and it was the dullest story, and I said, I don't want to ever do this story, and then it was in there, and I kicked off, and we ended up doing it, and it was the dullest... It was about a week before I got the boot, right? What the people of Milton Keynes don't realise is there's a car park right by the right Waitrose where you can park for 3 hours for free. So the fact that the parking's gone up by 10 pence elsewhere is not only boring, it's irrelevant as there's free parking.
You're dismissing it. It's a serious issue, mate, really.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, man. Oh, I loved that job. But seriously, there were some points. It was about a week before I left, and I just think, what the flippin' hell are we talking about this for? This is partly why, right, for this show, I don't really, if there was an incident that happened in the world while we're on air, Brussels happened again, or, you know, something like that, heaven forbid, then of course we'd cover it. Of course we'd cover it. You know, if the Queen died, we'd cover it. You know, we have the facilities to do that. And I'm not completely averse to doing kind of heavy stuff on the show. I don't mind doing that at all. I do like having a good argument with someone about stuff. So that will happen, okay? That will happen at some point. We will have arguments and we will get, you know, someone for and someone again, and we'll have a Barney and stuff like that. That will happen. But at the moment, it was 4 years of being in such a structured environment where we had to do such dull stories sometimes that the idea of just coming in here and just playing with you lot, oh, it fills me with joy. With joy. But thank you for that call. I enjoyed that. 0844 499 1000. Here we go. Neighbour came back to say goodbye. Now, I don't know any of my neighbours. I do know my neighbours, actually. I know the woman over the road refuses to... Well, she... Over Christmas, a lot of the parcels that was for us ended up going there because we were out. And I went, the fourth time I went to her house to get the parcel, she went, "We must stop meeting like this." I went, "Yeah, you're right." She went, "No, really, we must stop meeting like this." What she meant was, stop getting your parcels delivered here. I have no power over to where the parcels get delivered. It's the postman that makes the decision, Ed. The postman makes the decision. And she, the woman, has the power to go, "I don't want to accept that." But what a miserable old...
You'd think your neighbour's helping out here. You'd think that they'd be willing to take the package for you, hold on to it for a few days. It's just being neighbourly.
It's just being neighbourly. I love taking packages for my neighbours and steaming them open, looking what's in there, taking what I like, and resealing them. Neighbour came back to say goodbye. This is from Bruno's mum. These stories are... Remember, this. The mail is asking, is this proof that love never dies? I once saw a dear neighbour, a lovely elderly woman who'd been very ill, standing at the edge of the pavement outside her flat and looking toward my house with a big smile on her face. I remember thinking how well she looked and smiled because it seemed she was now better. I didn't pull back the curtain to wave because I'd just got up and was wearing a tatty nightie and my hair was a mess. How I wish I had, because a few days later her daughter told me that her mother
had never recovered from her illness and had died in hospital before the time I saw her. But I did see her, and I can still see her now. I can't explain it. I can. It never happened. Never happened! Ghosts don't exist, guys! Strange sight on hospital corridor. There's loads of these. There's about 20 of these. This is from Jake Seven. Jake's. I mean, it's a sad story. And you, here's the thing, right? My dad died a couple of years ago, right? 2 years ago, I think. Was it three? I get confused. And I keep seeing people who look like him. And I keep thinking, and I'm at the corner of my eye, I think, oh, there's Dad. Oh, no, of course he's dead. That bloke looks a bit like him. Oh, I saw one today. I thought, oh, that bloke looks a bit like my dad. But it's not my dad because he's dead and he ain't coming back. He's not given any sight. He's not coming back. I lost my dad and my sister in a very short space of time. When my sister was ill, as her husband came out of her ward one night, he saw my dad walking along the corridor in front of him. My dad had a very... Now, here's a word you don't see very often. My dad had a very easily recognised gait. Why was he carrying a gait with him? You could spot him from some distance away. It was only when my brother-in-law got down to the bottom of the stairs that it dawned on him that my dad was no longer with us and there was no sign of the gentleman he'd seen in the corridor. We don't know anything, but we keep trying to make others believe. What? But is this proof that love never dies? No, this is written by a lunatic. The last sentence is, we don't know anything, but we keep trying to make others believe we know everything. It's getting a little bit heavy. Let's do this last one. Sad message for a soldier son. Is this proof that love never dies? This is from Karen Dunlop. At least Karen's had the balls to put her name on the thing, so we know where it's coming from. My brother was in the army stationed in the Middle East when he saw my father in broad daylight. Now, you think that was odd? Bless you, Ed. Later that day, he received a telegram to say our dad had died. Now, guys, it would be great. It would be wonderful if that stuff happened. But you know what? It don't. There ain't no such thing as ghosts. You hear me? That's it. That's your lot. Back tomorrow night at 10. Till then, ta-ta.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.